If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yes, sure enough it is.
I love it, Randolph.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John? What the hell? So then I tried it again. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph.
Shit.
This doesn't sound real.
I know.
That's why I had him put it on the CD for me.
I said, the guys will never believe this. You have to put this on the CD.
This is why they have rehearsals.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
They may have chosen the wrong guy.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like. Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
And now,
Kevin, God damn it!
Our feature presentation.
I don't understand what that means. Are you suggesting, perhaps?
Well, something's got to be.
Is that that's the only thing? The I'm suggestion saying. From you.
So I'm reading the new what's this called? The Business Wire, I guess, is what it's called. And here's what it says: been out of sorts lately, feeling disorganized. Maybe you're not operating up to speed, or just plain confused. See, there's a theme going on here today, right?
Mm.
Okay.
You need to be defragged. What? You know, defragged. Cleaned up, straightened out. Still not sure what defrag means? Well, it's time to learn because it's the trendy new word in American pop culture. How do you use this hip new term? Well, on the popular show CSI, a character mentions his scatterbrained partner needs to defrag his brain. On the top-rated Kevin and Bean Morning Show in K-Rock Los Angeles, they discussed how Kevin can't access the info in his brain. It was suggested that Kevin's mind needs to be defragged.
What?
You're now the standard bearer.
How's that?
Oh my God.
Minds that need to be defragged in the Business Wire.
Who would quote that dumb statement? It's ridiculous. I was thinking the whole time, defrag. Oh, stop trying to make that a hip-hop word. Well, who's even using it? And then all of a sudden, there they are quoting us.
You're famous. Your brain is famous.
Your brain is famous.
It will be studied when you die.
You have a cluttered hard drive.
What the hell?
I do have a cluttered hard drive. That's true.
Technically speaking, defrag or defragmentation is a process refined by the Disk Keeper Corporation in the 80s designed to organize a computer's hard drive. Without defragging, your computer will slow, hang, or crash. Now the term is so popular it's used as a euphemism for getting one's life together.
Hmm.
So there you go. Congratulations.
The Business Wire.
Between that and GQ, man, I don't know what the hell's going on anymore.
The world is upside down.
Mike, you read that article over the weekend?
He walked out.
Yeah, he did.
He's done with us. Mike came in very, very traumatized on, was it Thursday or Friday? Friday, maybe?
Friday, I think.
Came into the studio and said, I do not want to be reading my GQ and come across a picture of you guys. It's too disconcerting. And we said, why are we in there again? Spread? I didn't know. And he said, don't know, couldn't read it.
He didn't have time then, but since then, he said he has read the article.
Oh, he has.
There's
okay.
Some good stuff in it, but apparently.
But seriously, you
share.
Two in GQ, which is at least somewhat concerned with the way that men dress.
Right.
And present themselves.
Right. They could learn something from us. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not really what I'm saying.
They could learn from
us. You know what happens with photo shoots? They don't use all the photos, and then when the participants, the celebrities in the photos get so popular, they feel like they need to put something in the next issue. They just go back and pull photos they haven't used before. That's what happened. It's from our layout in the 90s.
I got you.
It was partially from our Marilyn Monroe shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Partially.
It was like if I don't sleep well. So a lot of times I'll see things and I have to like pinch myself and make sure it's not a mirage.
Do a double take?
Yeah. And opening up your GQ and seeing you two in it. I was like, well, okay, clearly something's going on. Something's
wrong. You two was in it?
Something's wrong in my brain.
Yeah. Or maybe a friend's playing a joke on you or something.
They replaced the page.
What was it? Did you read it? I didn't ever hear what it was.
It's a story, an article about some huge morning radio convention that I guess they have every year. I didn't know that it existed.
Okay.
And so this guy, this writer goes down there and checks out this convention and writes about the future, the past, present, and future of morning radio. And after the IMA situation and things like that. And it just had a picture of you guys as, you know, popular morning radio show.
Sounds way boring.
Yeah, but there's some fun. He makes some comments about the typical morning radio host, and I thought it was funny about, you know.
And is that us?
Maybe someone's perpetuating some stereotypes around here. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Are we a zoo? Do we have a morning zoo going on?
What was your conclusion, Mike, that we are, that Kevin and Bean are the past, the present, or the future?
Oh, you guys are clearly the future. You're the archetype of everything to come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the case.
He said mockingly.
It can never actually, there's no possible, I don't know how to explain what it's like when you know it can't be good. You know that going in.
Right.
There's no way that could be good. There's got to be some kind of back end
in that
slap.
Article, you mean?
Yeah, there's got to be something there. Otherwise, why would we be in it? Except for our looks. But, you know.
That could be it.
Happens.
Which picture did they use, Mike?
Dodger Day.
Oh, well, that's relatively recent.
Well, that's bad news for us.
Yeah. They didn't get the pitch in the dirt, did they?
No.
All right, good.
You're safe.
Excellent. Just checking. I don't know if they had like a frame by frame. You know, you never know. But Mike came in and he was just beside himself. He was like, why are you guys? And we said, we don't know anything about it. We have no idea.
Well, that's a subscription you've got to cancel.
No kidding. By the way, how desperate is GQ if they're sending a dude down to a morning show?
That is weird. It's not
meeting?
Really what they do.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it fits at all. They must be out. Out.
I mean, I guess it was very interesting to someone who has no idea what the business is like, but I guess to you guys it just seems kind of boring because it's, you know.
It's boring?
Some of these guys who are from smaller markets, their life is totally different than ours. I mean, they did an interview with Meatball and the Bong from Cincinnati or some other team. And,
I'd like to be Meatball and the Bong.
it's totally strange to hear how they run their morning show compared to how you guys do it. I mean, like, it's just a totally different situation. It sounds a lot like how you guys described doing the show in 1993. You know, like, they pick up the newspaper at 4 in the morning, and they're like, okay, let's plan 5 hours.
Yeah, that blows that way.
Why, they don't have the internet where they live?
They do, but, I mean, they don't have really anybody else. They have one EP, executive producer, who does pretty much all jobs, and it's
you
them
call
two.
Them an EP, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, because, you know.
Never heard of that.
I'm in business.
Of course, yeah.
And then it's them two. And so they're scrambling every day to do their own sound effects, to do their own production.
It's also got to blow when you're in a smaller market and you can't get good guests. That's got to be really hard. I mean, we're very lucky that we're in LA.
We have the opposite. We get good guests and we annoy them.
Yeah, well, that's true. And they never come back.
They never come back.
And they were, you know, it touches on that too, about how they struggle to get content because they can't get good guests because they're in, you know, the suburb of Cincinnati. And they have to do, you know, 4 months worth of material on like Sanjaya. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
They have to wring out every chamois for everything it's worth.
Wow.
That hurts.
Wring out every chamois. Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, well, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Monday, and it's the 3rd of March. Pow, pow.
Well done.
Meatball and the Bong can have that. They can use that.
We got Cooking with Coolio today.
Oh, that's great.
Come on.
I'm looking forward to that very much.
That's a real show on the internet, Cooking with Coolio.
Only on the internet?
I think.
Yeah, that's the outrage right there. These days, with all the crap that makes it to television, how can somebody not have aired that?
Why isn't that on one of the channels? For God's sake.
Yeah.
It's a cooking show, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are a lot of cooking shows on television.
Not that feature Coolio.
That's my point.
That's what we're saying.
Not that feature rappers.
Why isn't he on the Food Network?
Not a lot of rapping chefs.
That's just not good.
Oh, come on.
That's correct. That's very correct. LaQuisha is back today.
She is.
Very excited about
really
that.
Doing?
That's Amore on MTV.
Oh, that's that Tila Tequila spinoff?
Remember the Tila Tequila show and that Italian guy?
Crazy-ass Italian guy.
She was obsessed with. Well, he's got his own show now.
Oh, I can't wait.
So we got some highlights of that coming up this morning.
I'm beginning to think, by the way, that half of these people that go on these dating shows are doing it so that they end up being the next That's Amore or the next I Love New York.
They're looking
for their own show. It's just an opportunity to get in front of cameras so you can get a spinoff.
Sure. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Yeah.
Your parents slept with your friend.
Fantastic.
That's coming up today because this is based on the Hulkster, who slept with his daughter's best friend.
Wow. Yes, I did, brother.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll tell you about the Nate Dogg Stroke Project. That's on the way. we gotta tell you about this ridiculous 2-hour special tonight on the damn Queen.
What's ridiculous about it?
Subjects.
If this is the one I'm thinking of, and I only saw the preview for it during the Barbara Walters After Oscar special, this is condensed from a BBC documentary that they did where they followed the royal family for a year.
Wow.
Unprecedented access. Stuff behind the palace walls you never get to see, and they've combined it for this special that airs tonight. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Well, the first 6 months they had unprecedented access. But mm-hmm. the second 6 months, they were just dozing. They just forgot they were there. They didn't realize what they were doing.
I think it'd be a lot more interesting life.
So boring.
We'll see when we see the show tonight. But I have a feeling there's a lot more that goes on that we don't know about that's going to be interesting to learn about.
Mm. And you're basing that on?
Well, what little I do know about the queen and her duties.
But you don't know as little as I do.
Her duties.
So what do you think about that? Yeah, she has duties.
She likes her duties.
She has an awful lot to do. She's a busy woman.
We'll tell you about a new website for single people called Rock and Roll Dating.
Ooh.
Kind of helps categorize the people there according to their music taste.
That's good.
Decent idea. That's what we do with our singles parties because, at least everyone there is single and likes K-Rock. So you've got a little bit of a head start. And if you missed it on Friday, we talked to Will Ferrell about Semi-Pro. Got some highlights of that coming up just after 6 o'clock. And we've got your tickets for Linkin Park and for the Foo Fighters this week.
Oh.
Two sold-out shows. You'll be able to win tickets coming up this morning. And Foo Fighters, of course, playing the Forum this week, sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And
Forum.
The Forum.
Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Linkin Park playing Staples, I believe, on Tuesday night. And we got tickets for both of those coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh,
Staplinkles.
No.
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 Staples. That's just not good.
Parksels.
No.
No.
Parksels. I don't think that works.
Oh, sorry.
5:48 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ralph sent me a photo of his new Mustang on Friday over the email.
Oh, the yellow one?
Yeah,
the grabber orange
seen it
one. Because Beam was sending out pictures of hot chicks, and then Alex started sending pictures of hot dudes back and forth. I was like, I got something hot for you. That's what I said.
By the way, Ralph's computer used to have hot chicks on it. Now, picture
of
his car.
Actually, no, it used to have Adam
Yellow
West
car.
As my screensaver.
Oh.
Now it's the car.
Oh, all right.
Is that right?
No,
go.
I just, maybe I was mistaken and Dave changed it or something. I don't know. There are a lot of chicks on your computer, but now it's just a bright yellow car. So.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Okay, you're right. My new Stang, Adam.
Anyway, it's
by the way,
Monday
the
morning.
Neighbors love me when I leave for work in the morning.
Oh,
and I
bet.
Turn on the Mustang. He goes,
do you gun it a couple times just to say good morning?
Yeah, they're very pleased with me.
Do you peel out like Starsky and Hutch or something?
Oh, yeah. Leaving all kinds of rubber behind.
Okay.
Good times.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Here's the thing, people. Will Ferrell's movie Semi-Pro.
Yes.
Number one at the box office this weekend.
Yes.
But not by nearly enough. $15.3 million made it number one.
That's shocking.
Not
really.
A good opening.
Very low, yeah.
Vantage Point was number two with $13 million. Spiderwick Chronicles was number three. Then another debut for this weekend, The Other Boleyn Girl, came in at $8.3 million, good enough to make it number four. Jumper was number five. Step Up to the Streets. Step Up to the Streets. Step Up to the Streets. I can never get that right. It's number six. Fool's Gold was number seven. Penelope, Story of the Girl with the Pig's Nose.
Yeah.
Only raked in $4 million, making it number eight. No Country for Old Men. Got a little Oscar boost this weekend. Made it number nine at the box office. And then Juno. Was number 10.
What's your theory? I mean, they did a lot of promotion, a lot of advertising for the Will Ferrell movie, and it looked very funny. What do you think happened?
I can't understand it. I thought for sure it would make $25 million this weekend. No clue whatsoever.
At least. When we run things, things are going to be different.
That's absolutely true. But here's the thing. Some people don't think it's funny.
What?
I've got a bunch of complaint letters as if I have something to do with the film this weekend saying they didn't think it was funny.
Really?
But let me read you one really quickly so you can get the idea of the quality of the person who's sending me this letter. Okay.
Okay.
The subject in this email I got over the weekend was Semi-Pro was semi-funny at best. He spent all day thinking that one up,
very
by
happy
the way.
With that.
This movie was very bland and not entertaining. I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, but this movie had too much hype and nothing to deliver. This is just as bad as Anchorman and Talladega Nights.
Oh. What?
Yeah. Right, you're right. A huge Will Ferrell fan, by the way, sir.
What does
you
he like,
Semi-Pro,
then?
Semi-Pro, Anchorman, and Talladega Nights. But he continues. I can't believe you guys don't think George Lopez is funny. And yet
what?
You're raving about this movie.
Oh.
I say watch America's Mexican, the HBO special that came out last year. Now that's true comedy. I almost told the movie manager to give me my $8 back. Sir, just kill yourself. There's no other option for you.
How does the guy say he's a big Will Ferrell fan?
This was just as bad as Talladega Nights and Anchorman. Right. Yeah, those dogs. They weren't funny. Anyway, semi-pro, I stand by it. It's still big laughs for me.
I got a call from a guy on Saturday night when I was on the air. He wanted me to relay a message to you that he was very angry that he went to see semi-pro. And he's like, tell Rob, he told me it was the best movie. It's so funny. And it's not. And Will Ferrell's not that good. And Jim Carrey's better. And I stayed on the phone.
Oh,
I stayed
Lord.
On the phone with him for 20 minutes trying to discuss the merits of Ace Ventura versus Anchorman. And it was insane.
The thing is, the semi-pro is very sort of stylized, and it is very specific to that era, you know, the 1970s. And maybe if you just don't get that, get what they're parodying, maybe you don't appreciate it as much. Well, that's the only thing I can understand.
Both of these people don't sound like they like anything Will Ferrell does. So you kind of know that ahead of time, don't you?
I would think, yeah. If you're not a fan, you probably don't go to see that, right? Anyway. Listen, people, I know you think because I give my opinion on movies that I am interested in your opinion on movies. I can see where you might make that assumption. Don't assume that anymore. I don't care. I just don't. Let's talk about Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, shall we? Congratulations. We now know the names of their twin babies. Thank God.
That's such good news.
Because you were probably like me last week. You're like, all right, she's had the twins, but what are their names?
Like crazy.
How am I supposed to sleep?
Drive me nuts over the weekend.
Emmy and Max.
Yeah,
what?
Don't care.
Emmy and Max.
They're so
fairly normal. Very normal names, and I stand behind them.
So white.
Yeah, that's true. Emmy sounds like a girl who goes to Strathmore or something. And she's got a degree in poetry. Uh-huh. And Max, he's a guy. He's just a dude working on a construction site.
Yeah.
But Max is pretty cool. A baby named Max is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so.
I like that name.
Yeah. In Touch Weekly. Covering the important news in Hollywood has released their best male chest list.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Easy.
Don't give Mike something to think about all day long besides his job.
Psycho Mike not on the list, by the way. Sorry.
I know
Sorry,
who
brother.
Is. I know who is.
Do you? Do you think you know who is?
He does spend a lot of time looking.
Let's go through the top five, shall we?
Okay.
Let's count them down 5-1. Number five was Andy Baldwin from The Bachelor.
What? I would not have said that.
Okay, I'm out.
I'm guessing he was the bachelor?
I guess.
I think he was. I think he was the Navy captain or something like that. The military guy who was the bachelor on one of the episodes.
Number five was Andy Baldwin. Number four, Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been on that show in
three years.
Okay. Number three, Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
Or Hugh Ackman.
Either way.
Some people like to call him. That'll make Alex very happy. Number two, David Beckham.
No, ridiculous.
Second best chest in Hollywood,
ridiculous.
Psycho Mike.
Wait a minute, you're going to stand up for that one, but not the other three?
Hugh Jackman's swole. He deserves to be on that. You know what I'm saying?
He's getting ready for X-Men, for Wolverine. Start shooting soon. They had a picture of him on the beach the other day.
He's
nuts.
He's got insane body.
Nuts
yeah,
body.
Good for him. Yeah.
Can I guess
Beckham,
number one?
Ridiculous.
Sure. Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. Best male
best chest.
In, hey, wait a minute.
Sorry.
Matthew McConaughey took the honors for best chest.
He never puts on a shirt.
Never does.
I wouldn't either.
He's aggressively campaigning for that list. Yes. He's the only guy in Hollywood who's actually actively trying to, damn it, I got to get best chest. This is a great story. It's just a great story. You know Jeff Conaway. Have you been watching the Celebrity Rehab at all?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Conaway checked himself out early from Dr. Drew's rehab.
So that he could go home and take painkillers.
So go home and start taking some Norco.
Yep.
Look, if I have to take prescription medication, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
I have to take it. It's different from regular drugs.
Right, sure.
It's very different. Well, you happy to know he's clean and free and clear and clean and sober and all that good stuff.
What
are you talking about?
He has kicked his drug habit. Finally, he has kicked his drug habit.
I didn't think he'd had a sober day in 25 years.
Well, you may be right, Bean, but now he's got nothing but sober days ahead of him.
Because how?
Because his good buddy John Travolta stepped in.
Oh,
and
good for him.
And introduced him to...
Good for him.
Scientology.
Yay!
No kidding.
How about that? It's all he needed.
Jeff Conaway says he's been studying with an auditor from Scientology who visits every day. He's amazed at his recovery. He says his doctors are amazed, and he can't wait to get back in front of the camera. He said he has kicked his drug habit for good.
Yes.
Thanks to good buddy John Travolta.
Wow.
You know, not that there's a huge pool of famous Scientologists, but of the Scientology celebrities we know, have any of them ever had any kind of drug and alcohol or rehab problems, or is that part of the deal when you're when you sign up for that church?
Don't know of any.
Good point. I don't know of any either. Kirstie Alley's got an eating problem.
Yeah.
Right.
They can solve drugs overdosing, but not eating overdosing, apparently. She was addicted to Twinkies. But you're right. I can't think of any drug or alcohol problems amongst the Scientology crowd.
After Dr. Drew did all that work with him.
Let me tell you something. Dr. Drew, loser. L. Ron Hubbard, winner. That's what I'm telling you. Hey, look, if Jeff Conaway stays clean and sober, I will go back on the air and apologize to Scientology.
I'm with you.
I will
that
take
guy was
everything back what I said about them. If they actually keep him sober, there may be something to the Scientology thing after all. Because that would be an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You got, like, Jesus, water and wine. And then Jeff Conaway, sober, same thing. Same level of miracle.
Let's wait and
I'm
see
saying
how
I'm just
how
saying,
he
if
works
it comes,
out.
If it works out, 3 days, body rises, Jeff Conaway gets out of the wheelchair. Comparable, I say.
This suck may, on that!
This may be the miracle Scientology needs to convince me that.
All right.
The real deal, Neil. And I know you've probably been waiting to make your mind up about the presidential election until you hear what Russell Simmons had to say.
Oh, good.
So it came out this weekend that hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons is endorsing...
Let me guess.
Take a guess. Take a stab. John McCain. No, I'm kidding. Barack Obama for president.
Yeah.
The co-founder of Def Jam says that he's inspired by all the different people the senator has in his corner, that he's pulling together people from all walks of racial, economic, social, and political life. And
plus,
that he thinks, you know, this is the guy to get behind. So
And?
He's black. What? Oh, that's where your mind has to jump.
I'm just saying.
I'm disgusted by you.
I'm disgusted. And
wow, no kidding. You, it didn't even occur to me that that was part of the equation.
You are not. You are a little. Oh.
Huh?
Just infuriating.
It is funny that Kevin has said repeatedly that he's not looking forward to Barack Obama being president because anytime anyone criticizes him, somebody's going to say it's because he's black.
Yeah.
Yet in this case, somebody says something nice about him, and it must be because
black,
he's black.
Black, 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 kind of a double-edged sword there.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
That's right.
Wow, it's his fault.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jessica Biel.
What did you just bite?
He's like angry.
What happened?
I think his mouth is full or
something. Yeah, it is.
Whoa!
I don't know, he came out of the bathroom and his mouth was full. Then Charles, security guard, came out after him.
Balls.
Jessica Biel's 26 years old today. 26. Wow. Got her whole life ahead of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, with his whole life ahead of him, David Faustino, Bud from Married with Children.
Wow, way to
celebrate his 34th birthday.
Slam on the brakes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say his whole life was behind him. That's yes. Julie Bowen, our pal Julie Bowen.
Yeah.
We first fell in love with her on Ed. She played Carol Vesey on that show, remember? And then she was on Lost, playing Jack's ex-wife. And she's just a yummy morsel.
She's awesome.
Who does good work. She's 38 years old today. But the reason we celebrate, the reason you people got your asses out of bed today, the reason you're going to work with a smile on your face, you're going to school with a bounce in your step, we celebrate the 42nd birthday of Tone Loke.
Took it to the hotel.
Yeah.
He said, you're the king, so be my queen if you know what I mean. It's less
dude, a wild thing. Boy, that just makes you just shake your ass, don't it?
Yes.
It gives me a cramp right down there in my ankle.
Does it?
I'm going to say it makes my tone loke. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
It's Monday. I'll warm up.
When will this guy shut up?
Now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So when everyone on the show who's not banned from Santa Anita is there on a Saturday like this past weekend, Kevin, do you just drive down there and like hang out outside the gates going, yeah, I sure wish I could go in.
Circle in my car.
Banned for life.
Circle in my car if I could go in there. Roll down my window and see if I could just hear lightning screaming in the background on the microphone.
The answer's yes. You can.
Because you used to really like going to these things.
Sure.
You bet on the ponies. You got all the microbrews there. And then there's always a live band. And the DJ is there. And you used to have a really good time. And of course, you're not allowed to go anywhere. I just wonder if that's hard for you.
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, so, you shouldn't have killed that guy.
So lightning's on the microphone Saturday at Santa Anita. And Bean, you're going to especially love this because you love it more than anyone when people shout needlessly.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what Lightning specialty is. And I understand that somebody needs to be the point man. Somebody's got to grab the mic and entertain the crowd.
Right.
And Lightning is good at it and loves doing it, yet sometimes not so much.
Let's get this party started, right?
All right. For some reason, I don't know why this quality is so bad from Santa
muffled.
Anita. But
yeah.
I think Omar had set the wrong setting or something like that. But Lightning was giving away tickets to Airborne Toxic. And he felt the need to make a really funny joke about his friend Psycho Mike.
Airborne Toxic, right here. That's the name of one of your farts.
Yes.
Listen to how delighted he is.
No one laughs harder at his own stuff than Lightning.
You know, I know you got a lot of tape, but let me just say that I was supposed to introduce the band, mm-hmm. too. Brad said, please do that. So I'm standing on the stage right there. Lightning's got the mic. They're throwing out some T-shirts. Wouldn't let go of the mic. Introduce the band himself. Looks at me. I'm like, hello. I've been standing here waiting. No, I'm sorry.
Psycho Mike Lightning was in rare form.
He was. This was the best Lightning ever. He was hammered by 11:30. I mean, I got there at 11:30. He was already just in the bag, and he was awesome.
But the first race wasn't till noon?
Right.
So before the first race, he was hammered.
Yeah, I mean, he was buzzing, but he was definitely done. He was done for, call it body bag style, by like 1 p.m.,
what,
for sure.
What were you doing the push-up contest for? Was that for a prize of some kind, T-shirt?
We had 50 downloads from iTunes.
Okay.
Okay,
all
so
right.
Lightning said, what should I do for 50? I said, how about first guy to 50 push-ups?
And so Lightning decided to start yelling at a guy.
Oh, what is this thing? What is that little? Go down deeper. That's what she said. Go down deeper.
Yes.
He's doing the whole show.
He loves him, is the thing about that. And I'll say again, Bean and I are both glad. Don't need you. Don't need you. Don't need you.
You've bye had bye enough now. Time on the mic.
Bye-bye. Bean and I are both glad to not have to do that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean Lightning's good. By the way, Ralph doesn't, I don't think Ralph would be a good front man either because he doesn't enjoy this comedy.
Has he made anybody eat grass for a keychain or anything? You will eat grass for a keychain? You're retarded.
Yes, but that is something that you should have some fun with. I mean, sure. The guy's going to eat grass for a keychain. What the hell?
Do it.
So Lightning starts telling people why he's in such a good mood.
So I got here like 9 a.m. to set up. There's nobody here. The beer, the beer people made the mistake of opening up early.
The beer people set up early.
Even the fans in the front, they're like, I'm over with Lightning.
Dumbass. So the Omar drop, you know, DJ Omar Khan,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. was apparently on a hotkey and was played repeatedly. And Lightning, thinking about the kids in the audience.
DJ Omar Khan. I'm gonna unplug that and shove it up your ass. Sorry, family establishment. His rectum.
What? What did he say?
Family establishment. His rectum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that cleans
it up. That's just not good.
So, who's the Deal or No Deal chick? Was there a...
This was insane.
Yeah?
The guy from Santa Anita comes up to Lightning and I, and he says, look, we've got a... Would you please introduce the girl who won beer pong last year at our microbrew?
Mm-hmm.
She went on to become a Deal or No Deal briefcase beauty. And in
between,
in the midst of him saying this, Lightning taps me on the shoulder and he goes, make sure you get all this because I can't remember anything he's saying. I'm hammered. I don't know what's going on. And I said, okay, Lightning, don't worry. I'll take care of it.
He told you to make sure you're recording.
No, he says, make sure you understand what he's saying because I'm going to totally mess this up. And I said, okay, no problem. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to let Lightning do
all
this. Of course.
I'm going to let him hang
out there to dry. Yeah. So Lightning goes up to explain that, okay? That simple idea. The girl who won beer pong here at Santa Anita is now a briefcase beauty on Deal or No Deal.
Right.
And this is how he delivered it.
And how has your reign been so far as Miss 13?
Miss 13, it's been fun.
I don't know what possible question I can ask her after that. What? This is not going to go well.
Yes. I love
He didn't
Lightning.
Say anything about beer pong. He didn't
no,
say anything
how is
about
Miss
Deal
or No Deal.
Deal.
Miss 13.
She's briefcase beauty number 13 on Deal or No Deal.
So
and that's what
know.
He brought away from the conversation was, how is Miss 13 rain?
And then he was out.
And he literally fell down. He threw the mic and he's all, I'm done. It's the best.
Lightning loves himself some tattoos.
Oh! Oh, no! He has Hulkamania! He has Hulkamania on a tattoo! Hulkamania on a tattoo! Hello!
I love it when he gets way overly excited about stuff that he shouldn't be excited at all about, really, probably. Then apparently people were making too much noise for Lightning because he was having trouble communicating with the people out in front of the loudspeakers.
Hey, crew back here. Crew. Shh. Hey. Quiet down because I'm having trouble communicating with my audience.
Yes, you are.
Explain to people the game Centrifugal Force.
Centrifugal Force is a game where I take a microphone, you know, connected to obviously to a cord, and I swing it around by the cord, and when it gains enough centrifugal force, I smash a guy in the nuts with it, okay?
Right. So, and I'm banned, by the way.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. It's just a matter of time for Mike.
So before I play Centrifugal Force, I tape up the mic to the cord because I've had it actually fly off before because I swing it so hard. So I'm taping up the mic before we do this with gaffer's tape. And for some reason, Lightning goes on this, I'm not exaggerating, 4-minute dissertation on the history of gaffer's tape.
Well, this is greatly edited then because it's not that long, but he is explaining to people at the Santa Anita Microbrew what gaffer's tape is.
You got gaffer's tape. Gaffer's tape is famous in the industry for so you don't pull wires off the ground, so actors don't trip over things. Gaffer's tape is kind of like duct tape, but it's a little more durable.
My favorite part of that about that is after the description, the guy, the drunk guy, goes, "Yeah!"
And I'm trying to give away Bad Religion tickets with Central. So everybody's really into this, you know. Everyone wants to know who's going to get chosen. And he's like, "And it's usually black a lot of times because it will match the color of the cords, or it will offset the color of the orange cord, so you can see it on the ground."
Tell us more about gaffer's tape. He knows how to have a good tie in that Lightning. So apparently, you wrecked the dude with the microphone.
Yeah, killed it.
Lightning, very happy.
Oh! No way! What are you made of, steel? Oh, my God! That hit him in, like, 50 miles an hour in the nuts with a microphone.
Oh! Is he not aware that...
what he sounds like.
That there are speakers, like, right next to him and blaring right into the audience's ears? Does he not know that? I mean, really?
So finally, how are the horses able to run after this? That's what I want to figure out.
So finally, they kind of clear up the sound a little bit. This is going to sound a lot better, but Lightning is very, very happy by this point.
I mean, seriously, kudos to you people way in the back in the beer tent area by the barbecue and the brew. I love you. It's not raining water. It's beer. It's beer coming out of the sky. Beer.
Is he having a hallucinogenic moment, or what's happening here?
I don't know.
Is it a mirage?
I think Lightning thinks that any type of like dead air is bad when he's out there, and he
no question.
He really wants to earn his paycheck.
He has to fill every second.
Yeah, so he's just like, I gotta talk.
But when he says it's not rain coming out of the sky, it's beer. Does he think people don't understand it fully, or they're not laughing enough, so he repeats beer 3 times?
Does he think it's funny?
Beer! I mean, really? Like, no one heard him and got it the first time?
It's an inside joke.
And finally.
1, 2, 3! Oh! Here he goes! Get beer mug and drink it in and it's on him! Oh!
What the hell?
Light. Light, what? Why?
Don't you guys understand how drunk I was?
Yes.
I'm starting to.
But do you understand how drunk you were?
No.
Because there's a speaker right in front of you that is blaring your non-bass-having voice right through the eardrums of the people in front of them.
And they just stand there. And
1, 2, 3! There he goes! Get beer mug and drink it in and it's on him! Oh!
Would you say
that cracks me up. I'm laughing.
That's not a sound anyone should have to hear. Unless they're at Abu Ghraib, right? I mean, seriously.
Would you say that's good?
Yes. Yes.
You would say that's good.
I'm an entertainer and I love my audience. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play this one a lot.
1, 2, 3! Oh! Here he goes. Get beer mug and drink it in and it's on him. Oh! Oh!
I don't remember what that was. That was a good part.
Really? What a surprise. Yeah. It sounds like you're very, very clear-headed.
Yeah.
Good work.
Here's the difference between Kevin and me, is that I love the Queen. In fact, I own, I think, two different Christmas cards, Kevin, signed by the Queen. That's how much I love her.
Not signed by the Queen.
They are signed by the Queen.
Come
yes.
on. It's some assistant in some little nope. office someplace. Nope. It's like, the Queen! Bean, nope. have a very Merry Christmas. How many do you think she hand signs?
I think she does a few, yeah. I have collected Queen memorabilia my whole life, and I admire her very much, and am so excited about this ABC News special tonight that I guess is condensed from a year-long documentary that the BBC did, and they're presenting it on as a special edition on Monday night of 2020 tonight. Barbara Walters is going to be hosting, and it's going to show you what goes on behind the palace walls, Kevin. You get a chance to see how yeah. their lives work, to see how their businesses run.
Oh, I see. I still can't stand the thought of watching that for 1 second because she's an old bitch.
Oh,
how dare you? How dare you?
Well, I'm just saying.
We asked Producer Lightning to line somebody up for us that can talk about the big TV special tonight, and I think he did pretty well. You got to give the man, I mean, he may suck at Santa Anita, but you got to give him credit for his guest booking because I think we have the heir to the throne himself, Prince Charles, on the line with us on the Kevin Beach. Oh. Good morning, Your Highness.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Well, apparently now I understand who gave away the location of my son in the Iraq War.
That was not me, sir.
Must have been Kevin.
That was not me.
Given his obvious disdain for the royal family.
Yeah exactly. Yes. Now, let's talk about that, Prince, because that's been in the news a lot lately. What's going on with so Harry goes over there to fight in Afghanistan and everything's yes. fine, no one knows he's there, and then, boom, all of a sudden it gets reported and he has to come home.
Harry goes there to serve his country. And the next thing you know, the press in Britain is all over the telly saying that Harry, where he's located, mm-hmm. and so we had to pull him out.
And you must have been very disappointed, or were you happy?
I was very, very happy, because I don't want him to have his balls blown off.
I see.
Well, yeah, certainly, yeah.
I would like if his testicles remain intact.
I see, sure. Okay.
Now, Harry,
to carry
if
on
I can
the royal bloodline.
Sure.
Right. Now, if I can understand this correctly, Harry is the one who looks a lot more like your late wife's boyfriend than she does. He does you, right?
Listen, all right. That's quite enough of that, thank you. Harry and William are both my sons.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, technically.
As far as we know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I will not hear a word of any disloyalty from Diana, that whore.
I'm sorry, that
lovely, lovely whore.
Whore, okay.
Princess.
Princess.
Princess,
right. The people's princess, as they say.
She was the people's princess. Yes. Some people more than others, apparently. But there were a few people who, she was really their princess, and yeah. she would spread her scepters at a moment's notice, and the next thing you know, be on the royal back.
Oh.
Wow.
That slut.
He was like a stable boy or something, wasn't he? He was banging
right,
in the
right,
barn or something.
All right, that's quite enough of that. Thank you.
Now, okay. Maybe part of my problem with the royal family is this whole idea of the bloodline. You got to make sure that you have a son and they have a son and right. they have a son so that you can continue ruling Britain as if your blood is any different than mine.
Well, the blood isn't different. Perhaps that's where you're confused.
Okay.
You stupid, stupid colonial. The blood is just like anyone's blood. It's the line, it's the lineage, it's the carrying on of generation to generation. I mean, we Windsors have been in power for hundreds of years.
Right.
And we need to continue that because it's very important that a member of the family does continue to rule England.
What would happen if a member of your family didn't, quote, rule England? Then what?
Then they would be drunk. A lot. And get into trouble with the police.
No, I was suggesting what would happen to England.
What would happen to England?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what would happen to the family.
Would it fall?
We would have nothing to do, and we tend to do a lot of drugs and drink.
I see, okay.
But England itself would probably crumble into disarray.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Because without our guidance,
mm-hmm.
without our hemophilia, without our webbed toes.
You have webbed toes?
Oh, yes. The inbreeding of generations has just wreaked havoc with our gene pool.
I see. Wow.
Gene pool is quite thick now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got a thin layer of pond scum on it. Could use a good chlorination.
Wow.
We have webbed toes, 9 on one side,
mm-hmm.
18 on the other, on our feet.
No.
Wow.
Which makes it difficult to buy shoes.
Yes.
But on the other hand, very, very easy to swim. We're very fast swimmers.
I see. I
would
think
like
so, yeah.
Dolphins just cutting. We go along, sometimes we go into the Thames and just swim alongside wakes of boats.
Wow.
Just how keeping up with them, jumping in the air, catching fish.
I see.
Now, will we, is this the kind of behind-the-scenes special access we'll see on the special tonight on American television?
Yes. Yes, you will see me jumping through hoops and bouncing a ball on my nose and catching fish
I
at
would like
City
to
World.
See that.
Now watch now. Wow.
And also they have an in-depth study of Harry's balls.
Really?
Yes.
An in-depth study.
Harry Bowles, we call him. For reasons that are obvious.
Now, your mom's been the queen forever.
55 years.
And what is it that you've done since you were born? What's your claim to fame besides being her son?
Well, I've spent many, many years concentrating on growing my ears to a disproportionate size.
Right.
You've done a great
success.
Job.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. It takes enormous amounts of concentration to make the collards stretch to elephantine proportions.
Yes.
Yeah, it is kind of Dumbo-like.
I've also spent an inordinate amount of time cheating on my wife.
Sure.
With a horsey-faced woman.
Yeah, she's pretty ugly, isn't she?
She's not ugly so much as she is horribly plain.
Yeah, let's keep her out of the bloodline. You've got enough troubles, all right?
Oh, I don't think there's any danger of Camilla siring any children.
No.
No, because as far as I know, you can't mix species.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently, interspecies mating does not result in a cub.
I see.
Whatever okay. She would have.
I think a foal. I think maybe a foal. All right, grow in the ears, cheating on the wife.
Liger, of course. Liger, you can have that, can't you?
Yeah, a lion and a tiger. Yeah, they get together.
And a mule.
Right, he has a mule, a horse, and a donkey. Right.
Are you still talking about crossbreeding?
I'm just wondering what kind of creature she would have if someone actually did manage to inseminate her.
Well, it's too ugly to...
Insemination.
Too ugly to think about, actually.
We don't want if we did have children, it would fly like Dumbo.
With your ears?
You know, a small baby coming out with giant ears, which probably would be independently functional, and they'd be able to fly around the room, much like a balloon with the air let out of it.
Again, there's another great special waiting to be filmed.
Flying Royal Babies.
I'd love to see that, actually.
Saturday morning this year on CBS.
If you were anywhere near this interesting in person, I would watch this show, but I guarantee you're not. This show's going to blow.
How dare you,
This
sir.
Show's going to blow.
How dare you, first of all, insinuate that I'm not who I say I am.
You know what bugs me is the self...
Let's call the President of France.
The self-importance.
I'll say I'm Prince Charles.
We don't have time for that, really.
See if we can pull it all over again.
We'll get to that in a second.
Hey, coming up after the news at 7, we're going to talk to a guy behind a new dating website. This is a new idea to me, anyway, which is it matches people up based on the kind of music you love. Let's face it, a lot of times, you know, a bluegrass guy is not going to make it with a punk rock girl. You know what I mean? They're coming from two different worlds. So you look for people who like the same kind of music you like. If that sounds good to you, we'll tell you how it works coming up after 7 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
What happened to opposites attract, man?
Yeah.
Maybe you want punk rock girl and country western dude to get together.
Well, let me ask you this, Ralph. Is there any possibility you would have married a woman who loves country music and listens to it a lot?
My wife listens to country music all the time.
Does she really?
Well, then.
Yeah, in her car. It's obviously banned from the home.
Because I hate it so much.
Yeah. It's banned from the home, but she does. I do get in her car once in a while to move it or something, and it'll be on KZLA, whatever BS country station there is.
Wow. Every once in a while, does she put on like a Tim McGraw CD in the house or something?
Nope.
Not allowed.
That does not happen. She's got wide-ranging musical taste, but she is from Ventura County. She's up from up north.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of country.
It's a country area. It's K-Hay country out there.
A lot of country fans up there. So I'm just saying it can happen. Mm. I'm just saying let's not narrow our you know, our options here. Let's you know.
Hard enough to find somebody?
Right. It may be a good stepping off point, but I would hate to think that people are that picky that they would narrow in on one type of music.
But if you like bluegrass, you just date a sibling.
That's true.
You don't even need to find someone outside the family.
Sort of family tree website they go to find dates.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about movies, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Will Ferrell's movie, Semi-Pro, came in at number one, although didn't make enough money, in my opinion. $15.3 million is what it opened.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. But here's, keep this in mind. Anchorman, when it first came out, didn't make a lot of money at the box office.
Oh, is that right?
Really came on in DVD. That's where people really sort of discovered it. So maybe that'll happen with Semi-Pro, but I think people should go see it because I think it's real funny. Vantage Point was number two at the box office, made $13 million. The Spiderwick Chronicles were number three. The Other Boleyn Girl, the historical romantic drama about King Henry VIII and Anne and Mary Boleyn, only made $8.3 million.
Kevin, how was Scarlett Johansson?
Didn't get to see that movie.
Really?
No. You're quite a fan.
I don't, I'm not that big a fan that I would go see that movie.
Come on!
It didn't look like a sexy movie.
ScarJo wearing a bunch of push-up bustiers walking around the royal court.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
British accent.
Yeah. She doesn't strike me as an accent expert.
That may be true.
Someone wrote me an email and said, I was shocked at the number of people who were stunned at the end of the film when Anne Boleyn got her head chopped off. He said, what is going on with the educational system in this country? Be like, oh, no, no, screaming. No, you didn't. And screaming. What happened? Like, really? People are shocked this is how the movie ends?
There's no way to know how that one ends, Ralph.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't see that coming.
Yumper. Yumper was number five.
Your friends in the royal family right there made that decision.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
They're all related.
Jumper was number five at the box office. Step up two, the streets. Step up. Step up two, the streets. Step up to the streets. I don't know how you're supposed to say that. It's number six. Fool's Gold. Gold was number seven. Penelope.
Yeah.
About Christina Ricci having a pig nose is eight. No Country for Old Men.
That could happen, man. You laugh. That could happen.
Yeah. And number 10 was Juno.
Juno.
Nice.
A little update on the Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony twin baby name scandal.
Mm-hmm. Is there a name scandal?
Yeah. We found out over the weekend that their names are Emmy and Max.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is according to People Magazine. Well, I got a bunch of phone calls and emails from our K-Rock listeners. God bless them. We're right on top of things. Saying that Emmy and Max are the two characters from a PBS animated kids series called Dragon Tales.
Okay.
So everyone's curious why she would name her kids after characters
Dragons?
From an animated TV series.
Hmm.
I think one's a dragon and one's like a princess or something.
I know.
Hmm. That does sound like quite the scandal.
I think it does.
Yeah.
We'll have to dig deeper. And TMZ.com's got the best story of the week. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Jason Davis, who's been affectionately nicknamed Gummy Bear by TMZ.com, was busted over the weekend.
Yes.
For cocaine possession.
What a surprise.
What a shock.
Apparently he was popped on Ventura Boulevard in Van Nuys on Friday night. He was pulled over, and they went through his car and found blow.
Hmm.
Here's the thing. If he's doing blow, that makes, you know, makes sense why he's sweaty all the time. But how can he be that fat?
I know.
If he's got a serious coke problem. How can he be such a fat pig?
He would be 1,000 pounds if he wasn't doing blow.
Maybe. Maybe maybe that is him with a coke problem, emaciated. If he gets clean and sober, he's going to explode.
He is, yeah.
Anyway, but now we know why he sweats all the time. He's a foul person.
He is on every level.
He's a foul, disgusting human being on every level.
Yep.
He's just obnoxious and arrogant, and you can tell he smells and he just looks bad and he sounds bad and he's just horrible. Now, I don't know the guy, but I think he's a piece of crap.
This is Jason Davis you're talking about. He and his brother Brandon Davis come from a wealthy family,
the
and they're
the
socialites, right?
Of oil gazillionaire Brandon Davis, Martin Davis, Steve Davis. I don't know what the guy's name
somebody
is.
Davis.
Somebody
right?
Davis. Yeah, but they're all they do is just live off the family money and just spend money.
Yeah.
And he's just a pig.
Yeah.
He's a pig.
What do you
Mike,
saying?
Did one of them nail Paris Hilton?
Brandon was dating Misha Barton for a long time.
Okay. Right,
and then
right.
he's Paris Hilton's best friend, best male
okay.
friend. That and he was actually in the car with Paris when he did that legendary firecrotch rant.
Right. That's more than you need to know about the Davis family
good
history.
People right there.
But he's a pig.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
This guy's a pig. Just a disgusting pig.
Did he grow up with a pig nose?
No.
No.
Okay. Pig belly.
And he's a big, fat, sweaty pig, and he dresses in, like, pink serapes, too. I mean, he's just one of those, like, guys, like, hey, look at me for doing nothing.
Yeah. He was released on bail on Saturday. Apparently his stepfather came out and bailed him out. For
well,
10
that
grand.
Must be proud.
Which is a shame because I was hoping he'd get shivved in the joint.
You don't like him?
He's a pig.
Does it hurt when you get shivved in the joint?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the joint?
It's the worst place to get shivved, by the way, right there in the joint.
Yeah, oh.
That's bad news right there.
You are a rude, faultless little pig, okay?
Even Baldwin doesn't like this guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'll tell you something.
Billy Ray Cyrus wants his daughter Miley to go to college. Good luck, Billy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Corn Star Magazine. Billy made his daughter promise she would continue her education.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happened with her career. But she has informed him she has no real plans to go to college right now.
Really? What a surprise.
When you're 15 and you've got gazillion dollars, maybe you don't see the need to go learn how to diagram a sentence or work on a protractor.
At least she, I mean, she seems, for her age certainly, pretty well educated. I mean, she doesn't sound stupid anyway. She could get by.
Yeah. So did Brittany at 15. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe so.
Ooh, she's got her act together. That 15-year-old girl seems very, very solid. She's got a family. She's really on firm footing.
And that worked
out
well.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's shaving her head. Jason Davis, though, is a pig.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a giant pig.
Man, he's a fat pig.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Biel's 26 years old today.
Oh, yes.
Not a pig.
Not. Holy the opposite.
Smokes.
If you got Jason Davis on one end of the spectrum, I think actually at the other end of that that spectrum would be Jessica Biel. She's an angel. David Faustino. You remember him as Bud from Married with Children? Didn't he have a short-lived rap career as well?
I was about to say, Ralph, do yourself
DJ
a favor.
DJ Buddy B or something? What
do yourself
the hell
a favor and go get the David Faustino albums.
He had two
rap albums. They are amazing. And he does not use the Grandmaster B name, which he took on Married with Children. That was his rap moniker on the show. He's just David Faustino. Go out and get him. I'm sure you can find him somewhere in like the used bin.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
But he's got mad beats, though, right?
Oh,
he's
just no question.
Mad skills. And
he flows like crazy.
Other mad things.
It's like a young Rakim mixed with some Jay-Z. I mean, he's amazing.
Wow.
It's insane.
Maybe we can find some on the intranet and put some up later in the next hour when we talk about him. We can find
good idea.
Rivaled only by Brian Austin Green as far as
like,
sick flow.
Now, there's a wrap off. I'd like to see. There's your 8 Mile. There's your rabbit contest right there. Julie Bowen, one of our favorite actresses from Ed and Law. She's 38 years old today. John Bigham from Fishbone turns 39. John Lilly, guitarist for the Hooters, is 54.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
That's just for Bean.
Whoa.
All right.
And Tone Loke.
To the hotel.
Yeah, there we go.
Said, you're the king, so be my queen if you know what I mean.
Let's do the wild thing.
I think he smoked his fortune away, Tone Loke. I think he just
it's
after
a lot
he
of
made
cigarettes.
No, unfortunately, it wasn't that. I think he made two albums and then just spent the rest of his time in some sort of a marijuana fog and was never heard from again.
Dude, Funky Cold Medina.
That's what I'm saying.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
I don't know, but that was the question. I loved that song.
Those two songs were on that first album, and that was it, man. He out.
Well, Tone's 42. Spark up another bowl, Tone. We still love you.
He could afford one, he would.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's find out how this works. This rock and roll, I should say rockunrolldating.com is the site. It's a new dating site where you match people up based on their musical preference, and we've got the guy behind the site. He is the creator. Former musician and indie record label owner, his own right, Daniel House, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Good morning. David, good morning.
No, it's Daniel. Good morning. How are you?
I'm sorry. They put David up on the screen there. We apologize.
Okay.
So, rock and roll dating sounds like such a simple concept. How did it come to you?
I think it came slowly, and then the light bulb went off bright, and I realized, you know, nothing like this existed, and I've had so many friends over the years that have been single and always commiserating about the fact that, you know, they found really cool people, but they didn't share the same music taste, they didn't like the same concerts, or maybe they just didn't share their passion and love for music the same way that they did, and that was a really important piece of the relationship.
You know, it's funny because everybody comes up to you and says it's so hard to meet people in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
So hard. And that's why when we do our singles parties, at least you know everyone there is single and has K-Rock in common.
Right.
You have to have something in common. And this particular website, how do you do it? You put in your musical taste and then you get hits of other women who have the same taste or what?
Well, you basically put in the same similar profile that you would another site, but in addition, you talk a lot more about your favorite music, your first concert, the best concerts you've gone to. There's also a live show component where you can actually go and see a calendar of shows in your area and add them to your profile. So when other people see your profile, they can see what shows you're going to. And then you can actually go to the show and see other people that might be flagging the same shows. So you can kind of discover new members through shows and new shows through members. And you can, you know, on the homepage, there's the 75 most popular bands as listed by the members of the sites. And you could click on any one of those bands and get a result of everybody into, let's say, Tool or Foo Fighters or Muse or Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, I see. So if I flag that as one of my favorite bands, when they click on that band, my info will come up.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, what a great idea. And you know, it's funny because we were talking a few minutes ago before we brought you on the air, Daniel, about there are, you know, you don't necessarily want to eliminate somebody just because you don't share the musical taste, but it is nice to have that as a as an opening conversation to have or an opening date to go to a show. And there are a lot of people, you know, especially, you know, with your background, you know this, coming from, you know, coming from hard rock and punk rock, there are a lot of people, the music is a really important part of their life. I mean, listening to that music and watching those shows on TV or renting the movies or going to the concerts, I mean, it's really a significant thing. That's one of the things that they consider an important part of their lifestyle. I'm really into heavy metal, for instance, or
and,
something like that.
I want somebody who maybe doesn't have exact taste, but at least who has enough commonality and overlap to be able to see eye to eye and agree on those things.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, how long's the site been up, and how's it been working out so far?
Well, so far it's been working out pretty phenomenally. It's brand new. It just launched at the end of January, and it's just growing steadily every single day. We got a hit in Newsweek, which was a really nice coup. I don't know if that's how you guys discovered us.
I don't know. Dean, how did you find this?
I don't remember. I don't remember how I came across it, but it did seem so simple, and I couldn't believe it hadn't happened before. And it is, unlike some dating services, if I understand correctly, it is free, right?
It is 100% free, yeah. It's completely ad-supported, and you know, we're basically trying to get ads from people who will be targeting the very users of the site, you know, mostly music record labels and you know, lifestyle companies that have the kinds of products that the people on the site would be interested in using.
Is it going to stay that way? Is it going to stay free, or is it just for a certain amount of time?
I think it should stay free forever.
Me too, but that doesn't always happen.
We think lots of things should stay free.
I think people should get free cars, but that doesn't...
You're not free, not supported, right?
Sure, yeah.
Daniel,
the same way.
Now we charge.
How many members do you figure you have right now?
Right now, it's between 500 and 600, so it's still very early, like I said.
Yeah, it's only just, been a month.
It's only been a month. I mean, February was our first full month in business, and, you know, it was a short month. I expect the numbers are going to go up after today, though.
I think you're probably right. And by the way, I have been scrolling through the Los Angeles people, and you've got quite a representation from Southern California.
Yeah,
a lot of rock fans on the site.
75% of the user base right now, I'd say, is from Southern California. So it's really perfect that you know, rock and roll dating is on K-Rock, just because that is the current primary target.
Are you jogging right now, Daniel?
Sorry, what?
You sound really out of breath.
Out of breath?
Yeah. Are you jogging right now?
Or? No, I'm not. Okay. I'm just excited.
Just check. Okay. All right.
Let me spell it for people, because rock and roll is not rock and roll. It's rock un, the letter N roll, dating.com. And
correct.
It is free, and we can put a link to that from the Kevin and Bean links section of krock.com.
That'd be great.
I think it sounds like a great idea. Maybe we'll talk to you in a year or so and hear about all the weddings that have resulted from your site, dude.
I hope so.
Thank you, Daniel.
All right. Thank you very much.
Talk to you. I don't know if you've seen this. It's becoming a popular trend where, for example, Michael Jackson reissued Thriller.
Uh-huh.
With some updated versions and some remixes and stuff like that, because it's 25 years later.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to sell albums these days. So record companies are going through the catalog and they're going, what can we re-release, maybe with some new tracks or some remixes or something like that, get people to buy essentially the same album over again and make a little bit extra cash. And that's what they're doing. It seems like every week there's another one that's out there.
Now, Dr. Dre has reissued some of the Death Row stuff.
That's correct.
That's what
yes.
I'm hearing. Snoop, Warren G, Nate Dogg, a bunch of people going back into the studios and reimagining their songs, perhaps, or remixing them. And I believe we have Nate Dogg on the phone. Good morning, Nate.
Yeah, what's up? It's good.
Okay.
All right, we should mention, by the way, that unfortunately over the holidays, Nate Dogg had a little bit of a stroke, paralyzing the left side of his body. But you're going to be okay. You're going to recover, right, Nate Dogg?
Yeah, Dogg. It's fine. Dog is hold up.
What?
Kev, the fried chicken was disappointed.
I love you on the New Year's Eve show with Ryan Seacrest. First of all, let me say that. But
dog,
second
of dog, old I.
What?
Old like smoke weed.
All right. Why don't you let us do most of the talking here, Nate Dogg? Basically, you're on because you have gone back and you've reimagined some of the classic Nate Dogg songs from the 90s, and that's what's out for people to buy, right?
Shizzle, dog. It's my early dog work.
You might pick it up from here?
Yeah.
We have some clips. The first one, I believe, is Ain't No Fun. Anything you want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, good.
I remember this song from 1993. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop?
Snoop Dogg.
Okay, here's a clip that you can get now.
When I met you last night, before you opened up again, I had respect for a lady, but now I think you're all bad.
That's not.
Cause you gave me honey puss.
What, huh?
And you even licked my
butt. That doesn't seem like a party.
Just leave my number on the camera.
Yeah.
And I promise further, give you a call.
All right, listen.
And
hey.
Then you're feeling
kind of
thunder. Come on over. Break your roof. And if you can't fresh, let it be. Just lay back and remember. Because I've never been.
Alright, stop this. Come on. Stop this.
Wait, here's my favorite part. I love who I was.
There's nothing funny about a stroke, first of all.
That is so true, Dick.
There just isn't. There's nothing funny about that. We're not making fun of you, Nate. We're happy that you're doing as well as you are.
I feel the stroke hasn't fractured my voice.
It has not at all.
No, you sound terrific. You really do.
And just to behind the scenes, here's the difference between Lisa May and I. Laughing uncontrollably, shaking her head no.
Pretty much it.
Nate, I hesitate to ask, but how about the all-time classic Regulate? Have you done any updating on that one?
I had to redo Regulators because it's my biggest hit with War.
Sure. Warren?
Warren G.
Mm-hmm. Warren G, of course.
People won't be disappointed, Doc.
Okay, here's a little clip of that.
To hit each side of MPC, Mr. Trump, I'm a 1G. Send a call for girls, need to streak. All skirts is 2 and 3.
Come on. I don't.
Sounds good.
Since the girls beat me for God, I swear, for the girls are home, little hard curb, take a better trip. Rush to the first in the mix.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
How does that sound to you?
This sounds tight, dog.
16 a clip, one in the hole. Nate Dogg, Bob McBurney's turn cold. It's a tabulate. Regularly.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
If you smoke like I smoke, I.
Come on. No.
That's not funny.
If you know like I know, you knew to want to step this. It's a G-Funk era, funked out gangster twist. If you smoke like I smoke, hot every day. And if your eyes are burnt,
oh, now I hear some ugliness in your voice.
That's good stuff, Nate.
It kind of peters out towards the end.
It does just a bit, but, you know, it's okay. I mean, songs can fade.
This is a mess.
And all weekend long, you were listening to K-Rock, and you were winning tickets to see Linkin Park. They're going to be at Staples Center tomorrow night, sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And Foo Fighters at the Forum Wednesday and Thursday. Those shows are sold out. You were winning tickets for both shows, and we're going to let you earn a pair. Right now with our new game, Free Parking.
Free parking for you. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's time for free parking.
Time for free parking. Free parking. Free parking for you. Free parking. Free parking for you. Free parking.
All right.
Free parking for you.
Free parking just for you.
I never thought I'd miss the golden days of the Nate Dogg Stroke Project. I'll tell you that.
Do you think Omar goes home and says, wow, I tried to get fired again today. They just won't fire me.
He should be so proud. All right, here's the way the game is played. And again, as Kevin mentioned, we're talking sold-out tickets for Linkin Park tomorrow night. And Foo Fighters, you're going to get Thursday's show. So you win both if you are the grand prize winner of a drawing that we'll do after you get a chance to compete for questions about parks. Famous parks is what we're looking for. All the answers have the word park in them. All right, so that should be enough to put you on the right track once we give you a clue. 1-800-520-1067. Who's our first contestant?
Begin with Angie in Ontario. Good morning, Angie.
Hi, good morning, guys.
All the answers have park in that, okay?
All right.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. An area of this New York City landmark is named Strawberry Fields in honor of the slain rock legend and former Beatle John Lennon.
Wait,
New York City landmark.
New York City landmark. With park,
Strawberry Fields.
With park in the name of
yes,
it.
Yes, Central Park Central is park. What she said. That's what we're looking for. Yeah. Nice. Well done. Thank you.
Hold on.
She was close.
Yeah.
Tiffany in Riverside. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tiffany.
Tiff, I'm sorry you had to sit through Nate Dogg today. That was painful, wasn't it?
It's
the best thing ever.
Okay. Right. Listen up. Park is in the answer. The first Korean-born player in Major League Baseball history is back pitching for the Dodgers for the time being. He was invited to this year's spring training camp, in fact. He's reportedly also disappointed that Dodger dogs are made from beef. Who is he?
Aww. How dare you.
Wait, are you looking for his name?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know Dodgers. I don't know.
First Korean-born player in the Major League Baseball history.
Kim Park?
Tim Park.
Chan Ho Park is what we were looking for this
Chim.
Time.
Did she say Chim?
Chim Park.
I thought she said Tim, like it matters. Andy in Burbank, good morning.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Andy.
This civil rights activist became famous back in 1955 for refusing to obey a bus driver's order to give up her seat to make room for a white passenger.
That would be Rosa Parks.
There you go. Excellent. You are now in the drawing to win tickets for both Linkin Park and Foo Fighters. Way to go.
Go to Patty in Mission Hills. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Pat. Listen up. Here's your question. Again, park in the answer. This Los Angeles landmark started, believe it or not, as an ostrich farm back in 1882, and now it has a BS observatory where you need to make a goddamn reservation to get in.
Griffith Park.
Yes.
Well done.
I should not stop bitching about that.
Now we're on a roll.
All right, let's go to Amy in Burbank. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Amy.
Anybody need to hear the theme again, or are we all clear on what we're doing?
We're clear. Sorry, I have my little sister. She's, like, yelling in my ear.
No worries.
All right, listen up. Here's your question. Where in Colorado can you find Stan, Kyle, Cartman, Kenny, and Mr. Hankey?
Oh, my God.
You better know this.
Yosemite Park?
Oh! Yes, Yosemite Park is where Mr. Hankey lives.
Oh,
what about South Park? Does that sound familiar at all?
South Park.
No.
Wait, hold on. You've never heard of the TV show South Park?
She's gone.
He just hung up on her. He had had enough.
How can you not have heard of South Park?
That's kind of shocking.
That's offensive on every level. Let's go to Alex in Torrance. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Alex.
Alex, have you ever heard of South Park?
Yes, I have.
Okay. That's not your question.
Then you can play.
Just check.
a mystery to our last caller for some reason. All right. When you're playing the board game Monopoly, this is the second best property you can own, unlike, say, Marvin Gardens, which just blows.
Oh, wow. I know this
second
one.
Best property on the Monopoly board. What is it?
Includes the word park.
Oh, I know it, but I...
Wow.
We were hoping you'd say it if you knew it. How about Park Place?
There you go. Sorry.
Park Place. Yeah.
Hey, I'm in the drawing now to win these tickets. I'm so excited.
Let's go to Erica in Long Beach. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Erica.
A lot of ladies competing for these tickets here this morning, it seems like. This famous Utah ski resort town is also the main location of the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, my God.
Involves the word park. Is in the answer.
I know it's park.
Yes.
Okay, we actually already gave you that. You need to finish it for us.
Oh my God. You
park.
Yeah. How do you feel about Park City? How does that sound to you when you hear
it? Do that.
Sorry.
All right. One more, and then we'll do the drawing among those who have gotten their answers correct.
All right. Let's go to Charlotte in Rosanna. Huh? Where's Rosanna?
It's Tarzana.
Tarzana. Oh. All right, we got retarded phone screeners. All
what's
right.
going on with people working the phones today? What's going on? Know.
It's Moose. Moose is dumb. Moose.
Is that what it is?
He's not the smartest. All right.
Daniel, David, Tarzana, Rosanna.
Yeah.
All right, final question. This legendary baseball stadium is known for its towering wall in left field that was dubbed the Green Monster. What is it?
I know it's Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Chicago is correct. Oh, wait, no.
It is that famous Fenway Park where the Boston Red Sox play in Chicago. You're right about that. Nice try. Thanks for the call. All right, who's in the drawing? What do we got?
We have Angie, we have Andy, and we have Patty.
Yes.
All right.
The winner is Patty in Mission Hills.
Patty in Mission Hills. All right. Patty, congratulations. You got tickets to see Linkin Park tomorrow night at Staples Center and Foo Fighters at the Forum on Thursday night.
Oh, my God.
Pretty damn good. Thank you for playing Free Parking.
Thank you.
And for hearing of South Park. What do you do with someone who's never heard of South Park? I mean, what do you do with that?
Ask them not to listen anymore.
You report them? Is there some place to report them to?
No, deport
them. Oh, deport them.
You told her they need to leave the country.
You told her to go turn over to Seacrest, right? She can't listen to us anymore.
Well, we didn't. I hung up on her. I was really disgusted.
That's not enough. That's not enough.
That's my favorite show, for God's sake. South Park. How do you not... Just heard of it. Just heard of it.
Nope. Never.
7:54 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up after the news at 8, by the way, because of the story in the paper lately about Hulk Hogan having an affair with his daughter's daughter.
Daughter's friend.
Daughter's friend.
Wow.
Ooh. Sorry.
That got creepier quick.
Granddad sex.
Not much sleep last night. Sorry. We're going to be looking for your calls of parents sleeping with your friends. That's the calls we're going to be looking for. You came home and found out that you're a guy and your best friend who is a guy is sleeping with your mom. That's the story we're looking for. Exactly. Wow. So. Yeah, exactly. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up after the news at 8. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning.
I'll tell you, back in the day, my friends had some moms I'd like to have had investigated.
Yeah.
Spend a little time with.
Sure. But your friends' moms seem to be much less offensive than your parent slept with your friend. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
oh,
it depends
course.
On whether you're the friend or the parent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the child.
Sure.
Or the friend or the child. That's what the difference is. If you're the child,
right.
Your friend sleeping with your parents is a total gross out. If you're the friend, you look at your friend's parents and go, damn, Mrs. Baldus is looking pretty good today. You know what I'm saying?
No.
No. I guess you don't. I just said that for my buddy Howard Baldus, who listens online once in a while.
I was going to say, I didn't know your last name was Baldus.
I was hoping. No, I'm saying my friend's name.
Okay.
Mom was.
All right.
I just want him to start thinking about me banging his mom.
Okay. All right.
Let's take a look at the movies today. And how they did at the box office over the weekend, shall we? Semi-Pro, Will Ferrell's new comedy, performed under expectations, only made $15.3 million this weekend, which I find just unacceptable. However, I am getting emails from people who... I got another email this morning from a guy who said, Semi-Pro isn't funny, Will Ferrell is never funny.
Oh, jeez.
Well, he's wrong.
And I said, please give us your number so we can talk to you on air, because I'd love to hear from somebody who thinks that Will Ferrell is just not funny.
Well,
because he just is.
But here's the other problem, is if you know that you don't find Will Ferrell funny, skip a Will Ferrell movie, maybe.
But the bigger issue at hand, I think, is...
I agree.
If you think Will Ferrell's not funny, you're just a dope. You're just a big doofus. Let me read this email I got from this guy over the weekend, too. This movie was very bland, not entertaining. I am a big Will Ferrell fan, but this movie had too much hype and nothing to deliver. It's just as bad as Anchorman and Talladega Nights.
Oh.
What?
Just as bad?
So what movies of his does he love?
Yeah, you can tell this is a big Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah.
Because Anchorman and Talladega Nights, dogs, just like this one.
Wow.
He wanted that hilarious night at the Roxbury. He wants to harken back to the early days. I can't believe you guys don't think George Lopez is funny, and yet you were raving about this movie.
Yeah.
I say watch America's Mexican, the HBO special that came out last year. Now that's true comedy. I almost told the manager at my movie theater to give me my $8 back.
That's just offensive on every level.
Yeah. You're wrong, sir. You, sir, are just simply wrong.
This is not a subjective thing?
Nope.
Okay.
Number two at the box office this weekend, Vantage Point made $13 million. Spiderwick Chronicles came in at number three with $8.8 million. The Other Boleyn Girl, in its debut, made $8.3 million, good enough to make it number four. Jumper was five. Step Up 2, The Streets was number six. Fool's Gold, number seven. Penelope, number eight. No Country for Old Men came in at number 9, and at number 10, Juno.
Juno?
Spectacular.
Are you guys looking forward to it?
Yes.
That's not in the
That's what I'm just thinking. Can't wait till that falls out.
Good thing for everybody.
Can't do it enough.
We could wave you off now and just say
No, okay. It's my job.
Hey, if you're like me, you've been watching the Celebrity Rehab with regularity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can't get enough of it. At first, I was nonplussed by the idea of celebrities going through rehab on camera, but yet I find it irresistible.
It's fascinating.
I must watch. Jeff Conaway was the star of that show by far this year.
And by star, you mean biggest train wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the biggest, I think, as a personality. No, the most interesting is as he sobered up, he had actually got likable and sort of, he had some insight. It was a remarkable change between the person who walked through the door versus the person who left the facility.
Right.
The biggest change, I think, was in Jeff Conaway. Don't you agree?
Well, except for he was going back to his old ways again.
I don't mean change in terms of his behavior. I mean in terms of the state he was in when he walked through the door versus how he was at the end, where he was fairly coherent and clear-headed and sort of an interesting dude. Anyway, he checked himself out of the rehab before the end of the treatement.
That's recommended, though, right?
They recommend if you can get out early.
So he could go home and pop some Norcos. But he told Inside Edition this weekend that he has finally kicked his drug habit for good.
Sure.
Did he tell Pat O'Brien this in rehab?
No.
Is that where the story was filed?
It was Inside Edition, not Insider.
Oh, sorry.
He told Inside Edition that it's all due to his good buddy John Travolta, who saved his life by introducing him to Scientology.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
He says he's been studying with an auditor from the religion who visits every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he has finally kicked his drug habit.
Glad to hear that.
He says his doctors are amazed at his recovery, and Jeff himself can't wait to get back in front of the camera.
Excellent. Get back to us in a month.
I'm just saying. If Scientology has kicked Jeff Conaway's drug habit, there may be something to this after
all. That is impressive, if it can be done.
Anonymous would just have to close their doors if Jeff Conaway stays sober after finding Scientology, because then there's no debating the fact that it's a miracle.
But the most impressive thing is that they're working with him, even though he has no money.
That's a good point.
That's really impressive.
Excellent point.
But maybe if they can get him sober enough to go work again, he can make some money, and then he can
contribute.
He's probably a legacy, though, because he's friends with John Travolta, so he probably they give him a couple of free ones or something. And they know each other from being in Greece together, right?
That's right. They became pals in Greece.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He was a Kanicki to Travolta's Danny.
Hey, if you have a Scientology auditor, can you also use him for your taxes this time of year?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. H&R Block now is doing clearing and taxes at the same time.
That's great news.
Maybe Amy Winehouse should meet a Scientologist, spend some time with them. Look, anything's got to be better than what she's going through.
Yeah.
Just announced that the Grammy-winning British singer has been diagnosed with a horrible skin disease. As if she couldn't get any more gross.
Yeah, she's
no kidding.
Now
she's foul
got
on every
a
level.
Skin disease. Apparently, People magazine says she is suffering from impetigo, which is a bacterial infection of the skin that causes pimple-like bumps everywhere.
Wow.
According to the Mayo Clinic website, did a little research here. Impetigo is, and I quote, "highly contagious, and scratching or touching the sores is likely to spread the infection to other parts of the body as well to other people."
That's just not good.
So you got a toothless crack addict with a bad weave who's just a mess on every level. Now she's got an infectious skin disease.
That isn't good for you.
I've never been more turned on than I am right now.
Yeah, that's sexy.
Oh, I want me some Amy Winehouse.
I went to go to the bathroom during the break, and Moose, the intern, had a picture of Amy Winehouse with her impetigo on her face up on the computer. I go, damn! What happened to her? He turns, looks at me, he goes, "She's got face disease, bro."
That's our Moose.
Dude, she so has the face disease.
He may not be the brightest intern we've ever hired.
Are you kidding me?
Ralph, he wrote up Rosanna for the city.
That's my of Tarzana.
I lived in Rosanna for years.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
Takes you all the way.
Oh man.
Come on, Mike.
Come on.
Why?
You're hitting us with the Toto references on a Monday? That's just not right.
Seriously.
That's not even funny.
We can turn people off. We don't need you for that.
I think
we had.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we had Omar's intro for the park game to turn people off. We don't need any help for Mike.
And we had Strokey McRapper too. Yeah. It's just been a banner show.
It's been a great hour.
Why? Hour.
So anyway, Amy Winehouse is gross. And in case you tuned in late, Jason Davis is a big fat pig.
Yeah.
So that's now you're recapped. True. You're completely recapped. Maybe Jason Davis should have sex with Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
they just blow up, like matter and antimatter.
That would be the celebrity sex tape that would make you blind.
It would. Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Biel.
Oh.
He's 26 years old today. David Faustino, who played Bud on Married with Children, he is 34 years old today. We've been looking for some of his rap music. We can't seem to find any that actually sticks to tape.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Disappears.
Julie Bowen.
Oh, yeah.
Who played Carol Vesey on Edge. She also played Jack's ex-wife on Lost. She's terrific. She's also in Boston Legal, right?
Isn't yes, she sure.
as well.
She was. I think I don't think she is anymore, but she was for a couple of seasons. Yeah.
That's the show with the angry midget, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Julie works a lot.
I love her.
She's 38 years old today. And Tone Loc, we've been celebrating the day of his birth all day long today. He is 42 years old.
Took it to the hotel.
Uh huh.
He said, "You're the king. I shall be my queen if you know what I mean." Let's do the wild thing.
What's that Tone Loc doing these days? Does
you're missing
know?
My mad beatbox skills.
Let him beatbox, dude.
For God's sakes, you're interrupting me. I'm like a young Blake Lewis.
Very nice, Rob.
Oh, I got mad skills.
You're asking what Tone Loc is doing today?
I thought one of our listeners might know because he's, you know, a Southern California guy, and somebody may know him. I'd love to know what he's doing.
Smoke it out.
Anybody who's got eyes on Tone, give us a call, will you? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, your parents slept with your friend, the Hulkster, made this tiny misstep, having sex with his daughter's friend.
She's kind of hot, though, and he is the Hulkster, and his options have got to be limited at this point.
I don't know the answers to any of that. I just know that if you're her, that's really got to be horrific.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Brooke Hogan is his awful, talentless daughter, and she has a way hot friend named Christiane Plante, who's 33 years old. And Hulk Hogan had an affair with her, and of course that racked the, you know, ripped the friendship apart, and they've apologized to I guess the friend apologized to the daughter, and then the daughter is never going to speak to her again, and now it's all just a big bloody mess. And we started thinking, this has to happen to our K-Rock listeners all the time, right?
Didn't the friend go to the National Enquirer because she, quote, felt guilty?
Yes.
Yes.
And apologized.
Yeah.
So she made it public.
Yeah.
Because
and felt
she felt
better once she got paid for talking about it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
that happened. So now we're going to take calls about your parents at 1-800-520-1067, whether it's current or in the past. Your parents slept with your friend. That is offensive on a lot of levels.
And you know about it. Gross.
Oh, dear God, that just sounds bad. Let's go to Danny in Westwood. Good morning, Danny.
How's it going?
It's going better for us than you.
What happened, dude?
Oh, gee, I was 15. He was 15. My mom was about 35. We were all drinking one night, just playing quarters and whatnot. I passed out. He come in the room, passed out. Apparently, shortly after that, she walked in the room. And I had rolled over and woke up to her giving him oral sex.
Oh, no.
Look, as much as you never want to see your mom having any kind of sex, you especially don't want to see that with a friend of yours.
No.
Now, you were playing quarters and drinking with your mom.
Yes.
Okay.
At age 15.
Yes, we were teaching her how to play quarters.
You were teaching her.
Was there a dad in the house at all?
No, he was working graveyard shift.
So married, too.
Oh, yes.
Good time.
Excellent.
Dude.
Did you drink a lot with your mom?
Not much. Apparently this after I found out a year later, after this had happened, talked to him, and this had happened several times.
Oh.
Several times.
So what did you do when you rolled over and you saw your mom and your friend there together?
I just go, Mom? Nobody moved. Everybody froze.
Come on.
You didn't call next, did you?
Wait, man.
I rolled back over, pretended I passed out, and she booked out of the room.
Can you imagine being this guy's, for Danny's friend? You're passed out, drunk, and the next thing you know, that's happening, and he wakes up and he goes, what?
Hey, did your father ever find out about it, Danny?
No.
Do you want us to call him and let him know?
Actually, he was my stepfather, so, and they're divorced now, so it really don't matter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Wow. What a story.
Are you
Have
still...
you ever been on the Jerry Springer show?
No.
Do you still talk to your mom?
Actually, I haven't talked to her in about 8 years, so no.
Really? What about your friend? Does he see her regularly?
Actually, I've talked to him about 3 months ago.
Really?
No kidding.
Huh?
Did he say,
I drink your milkshake?
No, he apologized about a year and a half later.
He did.
Felt bad.
And your mom never did?
Nope. Wow. She doesn't know that I know.
Oh, I see.
I thought
what
you,
a story.
I thought you woke up and shouted, Mom.
Well, I did, but she, I mean, we never talked about it, so I'm assuming.
Oh, I see. So she was able to ignore it, or she was too drunk to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know what was on her mind, though. So.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That is not what you want to see.
Thank you for the call, Danny. 1-800-520-1067. Now, let me turn it around, Lisa. You were, at one point, a young single woman on the prowl.
Sure.
Did you ever date anyone who had a dad that looked attractive enough to maybe make that happen?
No. That's easy. Not a one.
That just seems bad. It just seems...
That would be such a betrayal.
And wouldn't you guess that... I mean, I think I would guess that almost all of the stories would go... Man, you know, father to friends.
And that's the creepier one.
Daughter's
too,
friend, right?
By the way, yeah.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that would be more than mom?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. We sure see plenty of those, you know, those sexy school teachers that end up doing it with their male students. There's been a rash of those in the last few years. I mean, we're not talking about 80-year-olds here. We're talking about, listen to that last story. She's 35 years old. I mean, you're pretty. You know, you're pretty sexually active at that point. Your 15-year-old son's friend starts to look pretty good.
I bet you there's a lot of dad with son's male friend, too.
Of course you would think that.
No, seriously, think about it. Like,
says Psycho Mike, who that's his dream.
The closeted gay guy that's married to a woman and, you know, some, like, young stud comes home with the son. I'm serious.
We've been talking about this story for 10 minutes. Not once did I ever think of the gay side of this.
You're just not open-minded.
All right. We need to take a break. We'll come right back. Rochelle, you hold on. Sean, you hold on. And everybody else can call it 1-800-520-1067.
The other thing is when daddy bangs your friend. That's the topic on the table. At 1-800-520-1067. Hulk Hogan did it recently with his daughter Brooke's friend. Let's hear Rochelle's story on line one in Montebello. Hey, Rochelle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Daddy or mommy?
Mommy.
Ooh.
Ooh, your friend was a boy or a girl?
Actually, it was my sister's friend, a lesbian friend.
Yep. All right now.
No kidding.
A mom, lesbian action with a teenage friend. That's fantastic. I hope they were filming.
No, there was pictures. That's how we found out.
I'm sorry.
They took pictures?
Did you say there were pictures?
Yeah.
So you didn't see it, but you saw the pictures.
Yeah, because my sister was having a party, and I guess my mother loved one of her girlfriends, and, well, we found pictures a couple of months later, and...
That's fantastic.
Now, was your sister a lesbian also?
Yes, she was.
She's a lesbian, and then she's got a friend, and then mom hooked up with the friend, and neither you or the sister knew about it at the time until the photos were revealed.
Unfortunately. They're on the computer.
Good times.
And then what was the shakeout? What ended up happening? Who'd you end up losing touch with or not being friends with anymore?
Well, I'm not friends with my mother.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That tends to ruin the relationship, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was on the computer? She left pictures on the computer?
Yeah. You put them up on the website.
On what website?
Yeah.
On what website?
Just a friend's website that she had, so.
Wait a minute.
It's no longer up.
Well, okay, hold on. Your mother slept with your sister's lesbian girlfriend.
Yes, unfortunately.
Took pictures, put them up on a website of a friend.
Yeah.
Because she had to get them out there into the world?
I think she's going through a midlife crisis.
That's weird.
Well, I have one word for you, and it's bean@krock.com.
Oh, dear God.
Email you, Bean.
Oh, wait. Whoa. All right, Rochelle.
Bean,
thank you very much.
I just wanted to tell you I was the one that emailed you about Dairy Queen in Barstow.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for that sad news. Okay.
Very in love with you. All right.
My favorite Dairy Queen in Barstow, by the way, burned to the ground apparently last year.
That is a great story. Can you tell us more?
Not until we talk to Sean, because this looks like the story we've been waiting all day for.
Sean in Hermosa Beach. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thanks. We were talking about the Hulkster and how he had had an affair with his daughter's friend.
Well, this one might top it off. I walk in to my mom's house one day, and I walk into her room, and I find my friend and my friend's boyfriend there. They're having a nice little threesome on the bed. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Your friend, who's a girl.
She's a girl, yeah.
And her boyfriend.
Yes.
Were having a three-way with your mom.
Yeah, I know. I walk in, and my mom was, you know, the main component there. She was the one receiving.
She was the wobbly H?
Yeah, she was the one. And now she's dating my ex-boyfriend, so.
Now she's dating. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now she's dating your ex-best?
No, it's all at my expense. Yes, I could say that. But
wow.
Just wanted to share that with you guys.
That is excellent good story. Times right there.
Yeah, no, it's always been a blast. My mom's one of my best friends, so.
Is yeah. Still?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. She's one of my best friends. I love her to death. I don't know.
All right, wait.
What is her problem with boundaries, though? I mean, why can't she separate what's appropriate behavior with your friends and what's not?
You sound like my therapist. Thank you.
Well, it is. I mean, we expect you to say, no, I'm angry. I mean, that's
yes.
What everyone would say.
I would love to say that I am, but considering, I mean, she's still having a good time, and I mean, I can't be angry at her. I would never be the same. I can say that. I would never be angry at her. But
you couldn't be angry at her for stealing your boyfriend.
Him and I, we were pretty much over. He liked older women anyways, and, you know, I guess they...
But isn't there a creep factor involved in a guy who has sex with the mom and the daughter a little bit?
Yes, we don't tell very many people.
Yeah. Well,
now.
Believe me, he does.
He does.
He tells everybody. Oh, yeah, see her? Mom, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Package deal.
Sean, well, you are the best. We need you on Psycho Mike's new website, Hot Chicks with Low Self-Esteem. That's what we need.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Sean. Let's welcome back LaQuisha to the program. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Oh, good morning to you too, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm better now.
I bet.
You just made my morning.
Did you miss me?
I did.
Yeah.
Now, LaQuisha, we haven't talked to you in a while, but I understand you're very excited about yet another new reality dating show. What's the deal here?
LaQuisha? Are you there?
You okay?
I'm sorry.
Come on, LaQuisha.
I did a little punchy this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, brand new show on MTV for those of you like me who loved Taste of Love, Shot of Love. What the hell was it called?
Tequila. Yeah. Tequila.
Shot of Love with Tila Tequila.
Right.
Well, this is a spinoff from that show. Remember Domenico, the little Italian guy?
Oh, you loved him.
I loved myself some Domenico, and now he's got his own love search going on over on MTV.
They gave him his own show.
Called That's Amore. And it is exactly like the Tila Tequila show.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
He has a house full of women that he got to meet, and he make them do crazy competitions, and then he eliminates some at the end of the show.
I hope he treats it very seriously like she did, as if he's really looking for a life partner.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He is looking for true love in a game show on MTV.
Yes.
Here's Domenico explaining a little more about it.
I'm about to meet 15 beautiful women, straight women from all across America.
You wanted your all-American girl.
Each week, I say, ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella. In American, it's get the f*** out.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
All right.
Hey, LaQuisha, I didn't watch Tila Tequila. Tell me about this guy. I mean, is he a catch? Is he desirable enough that a woman would want to compete to win him?
I don't know. He's not my cup of tea. He's not Denzel. No.
Is he good looking at all?
Not really, but he's very sort of funny and charming and cute, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And so the girls seem to think he's cute and he got a funny little Italian accent and they like that kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, some girls love him unbelievably. They're talking to the girls before they got to the house and even meet him, and one girl was very excited.
I like Domenico a lot. When I first started watching A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, I was like, that kid is my soulmate.
My soulmate!
Yes.
He is my soulmate.
Yes.
I gotta tell you one thing about Domenico versus Tila Tequila. He is much more excited about having this show than she was.
Oh, good.
Oddio mio, I love America! I love this country! Thank you, God!
Thank you, God! When the girls show up, he is very excited.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. They brought back Domenico. But that's not the only person they brought back from A Shot of Love with Tila Tequila.
Who else?
You remember a crazy, racist, redneck cowboy dude?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
They bring him back to be Domenico's sidekick.
Yes.
And to help Domenico weed out the girls to find true love.
Yes.
Remember in The Godfather when Robert Duvall was Marlon Brando's consigliere?
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's what that's the role Ashley's going to play.
Dumb redneck guy.
To Domenico.
Okay.
I ask Ashley to be my advisor, to be my consigliere.
Domenico asked me to be his consigliario, I don't know, whatever.
Whatever.
Wow.
He lives in a trailer at the end of the driveway of the house. They put him in a trailer. He's living like a redneck.
This is great.
Now, the girls get into the house. They're all wearing bikinis. That's all they're wearing.
Okay.
And some of the girls are already starting to snipe at each other. Because one girl from Las Vegas named Kim, who got big old fake boobies, mm-hmm. she says in the middle of the show, nobody's even talking to her, "You're looking at my boobs." And one of the other girls named Hunter says, "Everybody's got their boobs out. He's not just looking at your boobs." Well, now it's game on for Kim. You don't say that about her boobs. That is not acceptable. She has just made herself an enemy.
Uh-oh.
How about that that was commenting on my boobs?
I'm sorry, I can't.
I can't stand her.
I forget her name.
Her name's Hunter. Bang, bang. Her name's Hunter.
Oh, my God, her name is Hunter. Oh, that's a ridiculous.
Wow.
Well, these two are going at it all during the show.
When she says bang, bang, did she do a little finger pistol?
Because it's like she's hunting.
How about that?
She's very clever, this Kim girl. Very clever. Now, the only problem with all the girls wearing nothing but bikinis is that I think one of the girls may have been hygienically challenged.
And
it seems like that while the party, the first introductory party was going on, it was probably a little hot in the house. And everybody's in close quarters, and one person tends to notice something.
No.
Somebody smelled like booty. It was more like a booty marinating in some fish sauce. That's what it smelled like.
All right.
Come on.
Enjoy your breakfast, everybody.
That is not sexy.
Now, Domenico starts to narrow down where the smell is coming from.
Okay.
And he figures out it is a girl named Kristen from Long Beach, who happens to be a sister, by the way, and I find it very offensive that he pointed her out first.
Right.
But he starts to do some investigation.
It was like a little smell coming out from somewhere, and I realized that Kristen, she has a little problem under the armpits.
So maybe there's a little B.O. issue going on with Kristen. Mm. So Domenico tries
to kick her out?
No. He tries to investigate even further with a little one-on-one time. And he really goes the extra mile.
Now, I got a question. Are you wearing any... Because I can smell something. Are you all sweat? That's probably what it is. And I'm just saying. Can I actually... Can you... put it up a little bit.
Oh my gosh, are you wanting to smell my armpit?
It smells amazing.
Do you like it?
That's why I want to smell it closer.
Yeah, that's why he wants to smell it. He wants to know if she's the one who's putting up the funk or not.
Do you like it?
So he takes a big whiff of her armpit and starts to gag. So I think that's not a good sign. Now, Kristen, she is blissfully unaware of her own odor situation.
Uh-oh.
And she thinks this is just him being cute and funny.
I kind of feel like the armpit thing was something that has to do with his culture, which I'm down with. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm trying to be a part of that. So if we're sniffing pits, we're sniffing pits.
Yeah, that's an old Italian greeting, what they do in Rome. They go up and sniff each other's pit. What's the matter with you? It's cultural. Not cultural, you stink. Well, meanwhile, Kim, the girl with the big fake boobs, is still attacking Hunter. Now, turns out that everyone can see because Hunter's wearing a bikini, that Hunter has been hunting in the bush, let's say.
Oh, God.
He doesn't landscape as well as the rest of the girls.
What's going on here?
And the accusations start flying.
We were just wondering why you don't shave your vagina.
Seriously.
So why don't you shave your mustache?
Okay, so you want to start cutting up on people?
Exactly. Oh, no, you did.
I am so fine. I love this show.
Well,
it's got everything.
The girls take their first night. They're all sleeping in one room again, just like Shot of Love. And the next morning, they wake up, and it's time for the first challenge. And they're notified by that challenge because a pizza gets delivered to the house.
Right.
And on the pizza is written what they're going to do next, because he's Italian.
See?
You see. And the first challenge is there's a big wading pool full of spaghetti and meatballs. And the girl's got to jump into the pool of spaghetti and meatballs, fit as many of the meatballs in their mouth as they can, and then spit them back out into a bowl.
Yes.
And whoever collects the most meatballs in their mouth get a one-on-one date with Domenico.
Balls.
Now, here's the thing. There's 15 girls at the start of the show.
Right.
Domenico breaks the news to them that five of them are going to have to go home at the end of the show.
Hey, let's not rush through this.
I know. They're cutting it down quick. This is the first elimination, so they're moving five of the 15 home.
Wow.
Now, one of the girls, Taylor, who claims to be a model, does a little quick math, and now I know she's a model.
Five of you will be going home.
Oh, five? Oh, my God. So that's like half of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's 15 girls. Five go home, that is half.
That's half of them.
Half of 15
this
is
awesome.
Five. Well, there's the elimination at the end of the show. And sadly, Hunter is one of the girls that got to go home.
Aww.
She got to take her big old hairy ass and just walk out the door. And Kim jumps to the opportunity to make her feel worse about herself, grabs her and starts pulling her out towards the door.
Yes.
And Hunter won't have none of that.
Oh. Let's walk you to the door.
Hey, look, dude, you're scratching me. Stop touching me.
I just want you out.
I will deck you.
Like, you should just go out. Like, the door. You're making yourself really nervous.
Okay,
Go with me, you retarded hag.
Yeah, girl fight.
Oh,
girl
yeah.
Fight.
Yes.
Girl fight. Episode one, we already got a girl fight.
That is good TV right there.
That is great TV.
I was worried that MTV wasn't going to be able to keep up the quality of Shot of Love, but they've done it.
And lastly, one of the five eliminated was also Smelly Kristen.
Oh.
And Kristen, she's confused. She's confused and disappointed.
I am disappointed because he didn't give me any time to, like, let him know what was up. Smelling my armpit like he did isn't going to, like, tell the damn future.
No, but it sure tells the present.
It's going to tell the future of his nose, yes. That's
the present
all
is,
he needs to know.
You smell like a carcass.
She didn't get that even after she left?
Nope, she don't figure out why he wanted to smell her pit. She thought it was some quaint ritual from Italy.
And that he did that to all the girls?
Apparently so.
Wow.
Instead, he recognized the fact that she put the funk back in funky.
Excellent.
And so she had to go. But we got another dozen episodes. More girl fights are promised ahead.
We're talking about Sunday nights on MTV?
Sunday nights. And somebody goes home in an ambulance this season.
Oh, good.
Wow.
So my ass is locked in. I'm not going nowhere on Sundays now.
Glad to have you, LaQuisha.
Good to be back.
Bye now.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, I was thinking about you a minute ago while we were talking to LaQuisha. I don't know if you got a chance to hear what she was talking about.
I did not. I was out smoking. Mm.
This Vats and More show on MTV with the smelly armpits and the shaggy beaver.
Yeah,
and then,
girl fights,
wading into food, you know, to put meatballs in. I was thinking, you literally could not do your parody Joe Schmo program today.
No.
There'd be no way that you could make up something more fantastic than the real shows that are actually getting on television.
Yeah, you couldn't be more outlandish. You couldn't press the envelope enough to make it seem like a parody because they've already gone beyond parody.
It's a great time, isn't it?
We did a bit. We did a bit in Joe Schmo 2 where we had that's one where I played the British guy. It was supposed to be based on a British hit that had come over to the United States. We're doing our version of it,
right?
And we had a bit called Bangers and Mash, where you had a model up to her neck in mashed potatoes, and there were sausages hidden inside the mashed potatoes, and you had to fish around with your face and find a sausage and pull it out with your mouth.
Which seems stupid at the
time,
right?
At the time, we're like, this is, no one will buy this. No one will think this is real, because the contestants, once again, thought they were on a real show. We said,
right,
we're really just pushing it too far now.
They're not going to believe it at all.
And then last night, they got the girls waiting around in spaghetti and meatballs, pulling meatballs out of their thing and spitting them into a bowl. And I said, yeah, you're right.
Bowls.
It's unbelievable.
Somehow we were seeing into the future.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. 9 o'clock. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning. What are people talking about?
A lot of people in jail. A lot of people going to jail today. That's what people are talking about. Over the weekend, of course, Jason Davis, affectionately known as Gummy Bear, over there on TMZ.com, was busted.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Apparently, he was busted on a little-known LAPD violation known being the Fat Pig Law.
Is there one?
It's just so disgusting they took him in.
Just, wow.
Felony count of grossness.
It's a felony?
Actually, he was holding some blow. He was he had cocaine on him, and that's why they pulled him in. They pulled him over on Friday night in Van Nuys, and he's already out on bail. But hopefully he'll get some time, but he probably won't because he's rich.
and get some lawyers.
Of course.
There you go. More crime news. Steve-O is sitting in a Hollywood jail right now.
No.
He's a model of behavior. What are you talking about?
Here's a surprise. Turns out he was breaking holes in the walls of his Los Angeles apartment.
Of his own apartment?
Yeah.
Okay.
When one of his neighbors called the LAPD. In fact, the neighbor even made a citizen's arrest, holding Steve-O until the LAPD arrived and took him away.
When he sat on him?
He made a citizen's arrest.
That's awesome.
We're told he's being booked at the LAPD Hollywood station for vandalism charges. Because I'm guessing he rents. It's not really, he doesn't own the building.
He doesn't seem like a homeowner, does he, Steve-O?
Hey, don't call the guy gay just because.
No, I'm saying he probably doesn't own the place he lives in. Oh, you're probably right, he rents.
Homeowner. Oh, I see. Yeah. I got you.
Look, citizen's arrest with Steve-O, all you have to do is just keep giving him beer. He's not going anywhere. Right. It's not like you have to hold him down.
Just dangle a bong in front of his face. You want this? Hey, you want this? Just follow you anywhere.
For that's a week at a time.
And I'm sure glad I saw the Van Halen tour when it kicked off here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the tour has been canceled.
Which you predicted day one, by the way. You said go see it early in the run if you're going to see it.
Yeah, the last three shows have been canceled. This just couldn't make it through. Word is that Eddie is having some issues again. Whatever issues mean. I bet it comes out of a bottle and or a vial.
Yeah, sounds like a relapse.
Yeah. Apparently, his recent performances... guitar playing not so good.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. He's up on stage.
That's not good.
Is he another Psycho son? Mike playing Rockstar. That's what they say he sounds like. It says it right here. Sounds like Psycho Mike playing
really?
Rockstar.
Really? It says that?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even know how they know he is.
He needs another kid that can replace him in the band.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doesn't Wolfie have a little brother?
That's too bad.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this week. And Will Ferrell's new comedy, Semi-Pro, underperformed at $15.3 million, but still good enough to make it number one at the box office. People speculating the reason it may not have done as well as Will's other films is because it's R-rated. It's the first R-rated comedy.
That makes sense.
So you're cutting out a lot of younger people who would probably like to go see it.
That makes sense.
It is pretty rough. I mean, language-wise and stuff, there's a lot going on in there. I can see why they got an R. The scene at the poker table, one of the best scenes I've ever seen, but it's just pretty foul. Vantage Point, number two. At the box office, followed by Spiderwick Chronicles, The Other Boleyn Girl, and its debut is number four. Jumper, Step Up to the Streets, number six. Fool's Gold was seven. Then Penelope, No Country for Old Men, and number 10, Juno.
Juno?
Lisa May, I love you, white woman.
Amy Winehouse has more problems. It's just what she needs.
How's that possible?
Just been announced via People magazine that she is suffering from impetigo. Horrific skin disease.
Yeah.
A bacterial infection that causes pimple-like bumps on the skin. It's highly contagious, and according to the Mayo Clinic, scratching or touching the sores is likely to spread the infection to other parts of the body as well as to other people.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
How do you get it, Ralph?
By being a skank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the official terminology?
It's also known as skank's disease, yeah. You're just a drugged-out skank, and you can pick it up anywhere, apparently. No, I mean, if you're mingling with people who have this disease, people who are lacking in the hygiene department.
Good times.
There was an America's Next Top Model, I think the second season, where one of the girls got it, and everybody's freaked out because they're all living in one big house together.
Yeah, apparently it's super contagious.
Yeah.
And makes you even uglier than you are.
Yes.
In case of Amy Winehouse's disease. Situation.
She sounds like she is now qualified to be a contestant on That's Amore.
Yeah, I think she just might. Speaking of Amy, I got an email here about Amy as well. Apparently things are worse than we initially thought. This says, Ralph, I heard you talking about Amy Winehouse's impetigo, but it was recently released that she also has a rare venereal disease. She complained about it for weeks, about a burning sensation in her crotch. The symptoms were a swollen vulva.
Yeah.
Which swelled to the size of a grapefruit. It was very raw and hurt tremendously.
That's big.
The doctors were baffled and eliminated just about every sexually contracted disease until one doctor found the diagnosis. Apparently, she is suffering from chunky fold vagina.
What?
You want to try that again?
Sorry, do it again.
I sent you the other clip.
I know, but I didn't know you were doing that now. I didn't know you were doing that now. I thought you were doing that for the...
Apparently, she was suffering from chunky fold vagina.
Fold vagina.
Chunky fold vagina.
Yeah.
Chunky fold vagina.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Wow. That's horrible.
That's awesome.
No.
You kidding me?
That's not the new one. For
Chunky fold vagina.
That's a one-dayer, though,
that's
right?
That's spectacular. Well, it is Tone Loc's birthday. We have been talking all about right. the funky cold Medina. So I want to thank Shasta for sending that one in.
Oh, God.
Shasta.
Tone Loc is 42 years old today, so we celebrate his birthday. But I think
I'm sorry,
Funky Cold Medina.
That's what I thought.
May be the new Rock Me Amadeus. I think it may catch on with the kids. I'm just saying.
You do, huh?
Is that one an indication of
Chunky Fold Vagina?
Things to come.
Pretty strong. Should we start off stronger though?
How much stronger can you get than vagina?
It's not even a word.
It is a word. Dissolve. It's not even a word, is it? That's from. Semi-pro.
Okay.
Julie Bowen also celebrates her birthday today. She's 38 years old today. David Faustino, who played Bud on Married with Children, and then went on to a successful career as...
nothing.
As the guy who spends residual checks for Married with Children.
I'm out. He's 34. And Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Lovely and talented. She is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
In the event that anyone's still listening after that song, you're going to be glad you did, because... Cooking with Coolio, ladies and gentlemen, is the internet sensation that everyone's talking about right now. Now, Coolio was a very famous rapper when, Mike? When was his heyday back with the Gangster's Paradise song?
95, 96.
Okay. All right, so it's been a while maybe since Coolio has been in the limelight.
Yeah.
And now he's back online teaching us how to cook.
Not you, how to cook. It's hard to describe the show without you having seen it, but it is worth going to YouTube and searching Cooking with Coolio, because... in the beginning, they jump in like a minivan, and then they drive out to a college campus, and then they kidnap this guy, and then they're going to show him how to cook, and then they bring him back, and they wrap his head in duct tape, and he looks like a Mexican wrestler, and then there's two girls behind him that are hitting him in the head with baguettes, and he's got a gay assistant.
Wow.
And he teaches him how to cook.
Sounds like you really learned a lot.
How much backstory do I need from a guy teaching me how to boil pasta? I don't get that.
I don't know, but that's the thought behind the first one, is that he's going to go kidnap a college kid and show him how to cook. It's the worst thing I've ever heard and seen, and yet it's spectacular because it is Coolio.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Coolio's Cafe. I am the Ghetto Gourmet, and this is my AC Dress. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to teach your ass how to cook. Are you ready? Sucker.
No.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
Sucker. I don't think you can be street and have a cooking show.
He's cooking with attitude, dude. Come on.
They don't really mix to me. Now, Dreds is his gay assistant, and he's talking back and forth to Dreds about, you know, making dinner for a girl and just exactly what result you would like that to have.
Have you ever been, like, late and you had to make something real quick?
Quick.
And your girlfriend is one of them salad-eating bitches?
Salad-eating bitches.
Tell you what. I'm going to teach you how to make a salad that'll get them panties right off.
Yes.
So his assistant, his guy behind him, what's his name?
Dreds.
Dreds. He's like the guys who stand behind Farrakhan, who just mimic everything that he says.
Yes.
Go on. Tell him. That guy.
So he's going to show you how to make a salad that'll take their panties off.
Wow.
All right. So far, I'm in. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Now Coolio starts talking about ingredients. Dreds, the gay assistant, is the chanter in the background.
Balsamic vinegar. Olive oil. Mozzarella.
Tomatoes.
It's time to cook, biatch.
Nah, see, I don't know that you can work biatch into cooking either.
By the way, how about those exotic ingredients for the salad, too? No one's ever thought of putting that combination together.
And by the way, the gay assistant Dreds is repeating the ingredients to the guy that has the duct tape on his head. As if,
all right, great.
For some reason, the guy that was standing between Coolio and his gay assistant couldn't hear Coolio say it, but he can't hear the gay assistant say it. I don't think I understand that. So then Coolio wants you to know exactly what you're getting, what kind of quality you're getting.
It's all about presentation, baby. Remember, look good, taste good, smell good, is good, Shaka Zulu.
Wow.
I'm not sure what Shaka Zulu is. He does shout that repeatedly throughout the show.
It's a cooking term, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, if you're a really good cook.
Is it really?
Yeah. No.
Okay. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
He had us going for a minute there, Lisa.
So what kind of salad do you like? What kind of salad do you not like?
You drizzle it around. Now, you don't want to get too much oil on it because an oily salad ain't
okay.
How about that?
It ain't.
Okay.
Right. Oily
okay.
salad. Basil. Why does he like basil?
Everybody don't like basil, but I like it because it's green, you know. Red, white, and green. You know, colors of the Mexican flag. It just make it look good now.
Okay. So
that's
he likes
what I
it.
Look for in my ingredients.
he likes basil because it makes it look good. It makes it look like the Mexican flag. And then he shouts again.
Shaka Zulu, motherfucker!
Okay, I don't know what that means, where it comes
least,
from, why he's
at
yelling
least
it.
Now I know why this show's online and not on television, by the way.
Now he's seasoning a steak, and see, he knows his crowd, so when he describes to you what he holds his seasonings in, you'll understand.
Okay, after you rub that in, then you take your dime bag of seasoning salt right here.
So can I get that on any street corner?
Half a dime bag of pepper.
See, because they're in dime bags and half right. dime bags. That's how he measures.
That's funny.
How does Coolio maintain his enthusiasm for making this dish? He seems like he's really into it. Like, if I'm Coolio and I used to be all that,
yeah.
I am hating life right now as yeah. I realize I'm doing an internet cooking show, but he seems to really be into
you
it.
You would fall on your knife, wouldn't you? I mean, that just
absolutely.
This seems horrible.
Yeah, so you get out of show business before you do an internet cooking show.
So now the Mexican wrestler dude with the duct tape head is standing in between Coolio and gay assistant, and now Coolio is starting to talk about the mushrooms, but the gay assistant isn't sure the guy in the duct tape can hear, so he repeats as well and gets very, very excited about the mushrooms.
Now, Josh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some mushrooms. I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
Ooh, I like mushrooms.
And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put another one in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put one on the side
yeah.
and one on that side.
What?
Okay, now.
Oh, my God.
Are we still talking about cooking? Because I'm confused
so.
About what's going on here.
Listeners are starting to email asking if this is for real or if this
yes.
is a real show.
Search Cooking with Coolio on YouTube.
All right.
You won't believe okay. it. It's worth watching because of the dude with the duct tape on his head.
Awesome.
For no other reason.
I'm going to put a whole half a cup of garlic in that mother. See what I did? Did you see that?
That's a lot of garlic.
And guess what I'm going to do next? The hot sauce is for color.
The hot sauce is not for taste, mind you, but color.
All right.
Coolio doesn't have a lot of descriptions at his beck and call,
yeah.
so this is how he describes food.
God damn. That tastes better than your mama's t-
Oh!
He did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So now, again, I want you to describe for me if we're still talking about cooking or when he starts talking about olive oil, if there's something else going on.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this olive oil and I'm going to put it in that pan. One. Teaspoon of olive oil. Wait a minute, not one, but we're going to take 2 teaspoons of olive oil. Hold up, and then don't stop. We're going to take 3 teaspoons of olive oil, and we're going to put it in that pan. And guess what? We're going to shake it like James Brown.
On a good foot. On a good foot. On a good foot.
I am ready to vote for this man for president.
Still talking about cooking, are we?
Sort of.
I don't think so. So then at the end of the show, I had to cut out so much because it's impossible to put it all on there. But at the end of the show, Coolio asks for video responses. You know how you do that on YouTube? You can
right.
videotape yourself and upload it. Well, he's giving away a hell of a prize to get people to send in video responses.
You want to get this bell pepper? All you got to do is send in a video response or comment, and the person that sends the best video response or comment will get an autographed bell pepper from Coolio.
I don't know why, but he's going to send you an autographed bell pepper.
Is this a one-time only deal or is this a series?
I don't know.
Oh,
I hope
Coolio.
It's a series.
Here's what I do know.
On a good foot. On a good foot. On a good foot.
What it do, nephew?
Mondays are always exciting because we roll out the new prizes for Kevin. It means what it do, nephew? You call us at 1-800-520-1067. Today we give you a copy of The Lost, the video game on the platform of your choice. How about that?
Wow. Lost the video game.
Plus, a What a New Nephew t-shirt. That's what you get today for being on the air with us.
Game has no ending, by the way. This will give you a heads up. If you ever play the game, it never ends. And it makes no sense.
You can't figure out any of the details.
That's right. And the rules are too complex to learn.
Mike in Garden Grove. Good morning.
But at least there are a lot of characters.
That's right. You could be one of 4,000 characters you could choose to be
new
in the
characters
Lost
every day.
That's right.
Mike, what's going on?
What a do, nephew.
What a do.
What a do.
I have a celebrity sighting.
Yep.
Last Thursday. Eating lunch at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in West L.A. Mm-hmm. Two booths behind me, Tone Loke.
Tone!
Okay.
Nice.
Now we
early
know.
Birthday
nice.
Dinner,
what's
huh?
up with the L.O.C.?
It was a birthday lunch. He gets up, walks out of the restaurant. Everyone waves bye to him. Bye, Loke. Bye, Loke. You know, I knew it was him. He had that deep voice. So I ran outside to get an autograph, and he dissed me.
You got dissed by Loke?
Yeah,
Tone Loke had more
Tone
to...
Loke.
What did he say?
No, he's like, man, I gotta go, I'm busy. And he was wearing like a purple like jumpsuit, like Nike jumpsuit, looked like he was going to the gym.
How busy is Tone Loke? Yeah. Seriously.
He's busy, all right.
I gotta go. I can't sign another for you.
I gotta ask, Mike, in all seriousness, I know you were caught up in the moment, it was exciting to see a celebrity there at the Roscoe's, but what were you really gonna do with a Tone Loke autograph?
I have no idea. I just wanted
I mean really.
I just wanted to tell everyone that I met Tone Loke, and I didn't think they'd believe me. I tried to get a picture of him, but it was too hard because he was backwards, and I couldn't just walk up and snap a picture
backwards.
Of him.
I'm sorry, he was backwards?
Well, he wasn't facing me, so.
I see.
He couldn't take a picture.
So he was walking away from you.
Yeah, so I tried to get the autograph.
All right, got that part of the story.
Put that right next to his Billy Ocean autograph and Belle Biv and DeVoe.
Right. He is still alive, apparently, Tone Loke. He's still out there and getting it done.
Happy birthday, LOC.
All right, let's go to, is it Joan in Salt Lake?
Yes.
You're listening online?
What a do, nephew.
Otherwise, we got a hell of a signal today.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, I was going to tell you guys, I saw an interview with Coolio and why he keeps saying Shaka Zulu.
Please.
Okay.
He does it because he's trying to stop saying mother effer.
So he says Shaka Zulu instead?
Yes. Yes, but on the clip you played, he said Shaka Zulu mother effer. So
yeah.
He's adding them together.
It doesn't
seem like it's working at all.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
what do you think, Joan? I don't know why I'm asking you this. You have no more insight than we do. But what do you suppose is going on in Coolio's life where he's doing an online cooking show?
Well, obviously he's got more going on than I do because I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
About Coolio's online cooking show. That's true. He wins.
Thank you, Joan. Let's go to Eddie in Canoga Park. Good morning, Eddie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What?
What's happening?
In the middle of a bullfight right now?
Someone let Eddie out of the trunk.
I'm right here at the yard of my shop. There's a little bit of noise.
What are you doing?
I'm at the yard of my shop loading trucks.
Oh, yard at your shop. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But, I went to go see the semi-pro this weekend.
You went to see semi-pro? Okay.
We'll translate for the listeners.
Yeah, man. Will Ferrell's character kind of got a little lost. You got to see more of Woody Harrelson's character than you did in his. What's going on with that?
I think he's asking why Will Ferrell was not a bigger part of his own movie.
There's a lot of Woody Harrelson in the movie, he was saying. Yes, I think that's just the way the screenplay was written.
Yeah, that blows.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the call.
I like the balance between their characters because Woody Harrelson gets the love interest in this movie with Maura Tierney and Will doesn't. He's sort of a different storyline.
All right. Let's go to Jessica.
Jessica.
What?
What it do, biatches?
Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Calling about one of my favorite topics of all time. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
One of what?
One of my favorite topics.
What it do, Jessica?
Oh, okay. Oh, first of all, it's my birthday. Can I hear Ralph say happy birthday to me? I mean, you guys do.
No, he'll pick up later.
Happy birthday, Jessica.
What are you calling about, Jessica?
So this Saturday I go to celebrate my birthday, and once again I go through the same thing I do every time I go clubbing. Why can't Asian girls hold their alcohol?
Why can't Asian girls hold their alcohol? I give up.
I mean, I understand. Okay, I'm Mexican. Maybe I have a liver and it's ready to go. But I swear, everywhere I go, it's always Asian girls who are puking their guts out. Like,
yeah.
It's disgusting.
Because they weigh
part
80
of it that
pounds?
They weigh, yeah, they weigh 85 pounds. I mean, that makes sense. You're big and fat.
Oh, stop it. She is not.
Like, Mike, you're with me on Jessica.
Jessica
seriously.
Is not.
Come on.
Jessica's hot.
Yeah. Jessica is double on.
I don't know.
Jessica, above or below buck 75?
Huh?
Never mind.
How much do you weigh, Jessica?
Sorry.
How much do you weigh, baby?
I'm 150.
150. How tall are you?
5 foot.
She's lying.
No.
You better be 5'10.
Are you 5'10?
No, I'm not.
Are you 6'10?
Jessica, that's the only way that weight would work.
I celebrated with alcohol.
Hey, leave her alone.
She says she's 5'4", 150, which means she's 5'2 and a half and 165.
The Asians can't hold their liquor because they can't be trusted. That's why.
That's why.
It's because they're little, Ralph. No. It's just because they're tiny.
Because
their
idea of a sneak attack. They get all loaded up and then they're standing next to the bar.
That doesn't have anything to do with it.
And you're like, hey, what's going on, Hop? And he's like,
nothing to do with it. You call him Hop?
Let's close with Thomas in Hawthorne on line 7 real quick because we're almost out of time on the Kevin Beach Show. Thomas, what it do?
What it do, nephew, baby boo?
What it do, Thomas?
Hey, so I've always been under the impression that impetigo is caused by fecal matter.
Oh, no.
That's what I've always been told since because I had a friend who had it when I was a kid.
Ralph reported earlier that Amy Winehouse, the Grammy Award-winning singer who's had her share of other problems, now has this skin disease called impetigo, and that's what Thomas is calling about.
You think it's from fecal matter getting under your skin?
That's what I've always heard. I don't know how it gets in there, but it's like somehow... Are
you like, shooting up poop now?
Burrowing underneath it? What's happening?
You know, she does like her drugs. Maybe she was looking for a new one.
What does that have to do?
Does she keep her stash up her butt?
I'm not sure how you get impetigo, but I don't think it's from feces getting under your skin.
I don't know that I've ever heard of that. I don't know that that's even possible.
That sentence has never been said before, by the way.
Thank you, Thomas.
That's a creepy way to end the show right
now. No, that was a good choice.
That was great.
I want to thank our guest, Daniel House, for joining us today. He is the creator of a website called rockandrolldating.com. If you want to find somebody who likes the same kind of music you do, it's a pretty interesting idea. It's a free service, and the website is rock and roll. That's rock, and then the letter N, rolldating.com. We'll put a link up on the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com, too.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to check back in with Sustainable Dave.
Oh, will you let it go? Let Sustainable Dave go.
Sustainable Dave.
Let me recap for you so you don't have to go through it tomorrow. I'm still holding on to my garbage. Got a lot of garbage in my basement. Wow, your kids must hate that. Yeah, they're not too happy with it. Okay, well, we'll see you next month, Dave.
Oh,
okay,
I guess
bye.
If you want to take
that's
the fun out of
go.
If you want to take the fun out of it, yes, that's how it's going to go. Also, tomorrow morning,
what Kevin's hoping, Ralph, is that eventually we'll call him and he'll say, "I gave up. It was too hard. It was
that's
dumb.
Not
I didn't
happening.
Like it anymore."
He's not letting go.
I want him to buckle and say, "That's dumb.
No,
I'm dumb."
He wants him to
chicken.
Be wasteful like Kevin is.
This is a game of chicken that no one will win because you guys will keep calling back and he's going to keep holding on to his garbage.
All right. 12 months, 14 months, we'll keep doing it every month. Tomorrow morning from iTunes and K-Rock, you get 106.7 free songs.
Cool.
Also, tomorrow morning, citizen's arrest. I don't know if you saw the Steve-O story today or heard it from Ralph on the showbiz, but Steve-O was arrested by his next-door neighbor who did a citizen's arrest. And I don't know how you do that. I've always been fascinated by it. You sit on the guy till the police come?
I don't know.
Freeze in the name of citizenship.
And also the dude who plays Ben on Lost.
Michael Emerson.
Oh, how about that?
How awesome is that guy?
Very talented
great
actor.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning on the Kevin
Awash in a sea of characters.
Yes, he is. A lot of characters. Characters on the left and the right.
A lot of people coming after
the
people
one of
the
best
island.
200 people on that show.
He really is. Sure hope he's not locked in a room somewhere. Because that'd be very different for him.
Cat Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including some Bush.
Come on.
White Stripes, Linkin Park, and that Vampire Weekend song you love so much. All straight ahead right here on K-Rock.